listening to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to American Journal. I am Brianna Morello, and I'm very excited that you're with me today. It's been a crazy week. It's been a very crazy week. We've got an exclusive story you're not going to see anywhere else, and we're going to break it for you today on this program with a special guest who's been dealing with a lot of whistleblowers who are frustrated with the Navy and the lack of PPE. And that is exactly what we are going to be discussing in that exclusive. Plus, I've also got a resignation letter of an individual who now has terminal cancer. And the story is going to be a massive story because this is one of those issues that need to be handled, need to be fixed by the Navy. I spoke with them. They assured me that this is possible, that they're going to be working aggressively hard to fix this issue. So I'll bring you the very latest on that in just a few moments. Plus, we got a lot underway today. The news cycle last week was kind of busy, and you may have missed it, but the former president of Brazil has just been sentenced to 27 years in prison. And according to legal analysts, he has no chance of getting that appealed, and he is likely going to spend the rest of his life in prison. The Bolsonaro family has been heavily targeted, and obviously that's their father, who is now being thrown into a prison cell for 27 years over a fake coup attempt. Paulo Figueiredo is going to be joining the show today to detail everything, because Paulo, he's a good friend, but he's also a Brazilian who can't go back to his country because if he does, they will literally throw him, too, in prison. The Supreme Court in Brazil is extremely corrupt, but if you're wondering at home, why are we even talking about this? This is the United States. It's because this is everything they wanted to do to President Trump. And President Trump, he got very lucky. He got very, very lucky when it comes to the lawfare because they were gunning for him, too. And it's not just going to be the father. It's also going to be others who they're going after as well. So we're going to detail all of that for you in just a few moments. Plus the NGOs, the money, we're going to track the money when it comes to these far left groups who are terrorizing our country. Mel Kay is going to be joining the program today because she's done all the digging on all of these far left groups and she knows exactly where these investigations need to kick off. She has all of the evidence too. And so, you know, I'd love to talk to her and have her on the program. But again, so much happening in the world today. We're excited that you're joining us. You may have seen it. The corporate media is pretending like the Charlie Kirk alleged assassin doesn't have motive. They don't know what the motive is. Everyone loves playing dumb. What's the motive? We don't know. Well, there's alleged text messages that are out now, and you may have seen them. I know a lot of people are very skeptical about this. I'm going to report it down the middle and let you decide for yourself today. But the media is pretending like this isn't their own terrorist. There's been so many clips posted online. CNN, MSNBC, we have one from CBS. The motive is unknown. Well, if you have a couple of brain cells still functioning, you know the motive is very, very clear. And it's because they didn't like free speech, they don't like conservatives, and they don't like Christians. And so that made Charlie Kirk a very likely target. It's devastating, but it's what's going on throughout this country, so we're going to dive into that. Plus, the lawfare that took place throughout the Biden regime years. Well, we're starting to figure out exactly how aggressive the Biden regime got. Now, they had all these three-letter agencies working hard to defend them, to actually plant and to dig up dirt on their political opponents. And how do we know this? Well, Chuck Grassley just released another document that outlines how far they actually went. And it's interesting because I've done exclusive stories regarding the 2020 elections, and specifically the cover-up. The cover-up is the crime here, folks. It's not, I know a lot of people like to focus on the voting machines. They focus on the mail-in ballots. You have to get the people who were participants in the theft of our 2020 elections arrested, thrown in prison. Because what they did was actually criminal. And there's only one senator who is actually doing the digging and is finding everything we need to know. That senator is Senator Chuck Grassley. He is our last fighter right now in the Senate. It's very upsetting to see, but there's a lot to dig into. So don't go anywhere. Got a jam-packed program for you today. We'll be right back.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
DallasJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have. 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I have a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. We're excited that you are here today. A lot to dig into. We're also going to be taking calls later on during the show, so make sure you stick with us, because if you have a question, I want to talk to you about it. I want to hear your questions, of course. But, you know, I was just talking about the 2020 elections and how, well, first off, there's really not an aggressive way of handling the fraud. I can't even speak. I'm so angry. The fraud and the theft. Nobody wants to talk about it. For some reason, we have a new administration and no one's digging into any of this. It's quite strange, right? But the only person who I'll say who's actually doing what he's supposed to do in the Senate, at least, is Senator Chuck Grassley. He is a fighter. If he ever retires, obviously, he's up there in age, so he probably is going to retire very soon, which I hope he doesn't, but he is our only fighter that we have right now. He is the only person who has defended whistleblowers who have come forward to report the corruption in the Biden regime. He is the only person who has fought that battle, by the way, with many of these whistleblowers for over a decade. On top of it, he is the only one who is digging into the election fraud, folks. He just put out, we're going to go through this because this is insane to me. He just put out documents that outline how the Biden regime used our federal government, our federal agencies to go after its own citizens. We've known this. We've talked about this. Although they'll dismiss you and say you're a conspiracy theorist, it's clear as day. These new unclassified documents from the FBI outline it for you. Arctic Frost is a joint investigation between the FBI, the DOJ's Office of Inspector General, U.S. Postal Inspection Service, National Archives and Record Administration. And then he used all of this with Special Counsel Jack Smith. Jack Smith, the guy who shouldn't have had his position in the first place because he wasn't legitimate. He was appointed to a position that he was not supposed to be in. As many of you guys know, Jack Smith, a coward, because he resigned in January because he was too afraid of President Trump stepping back into position, and so he backed out. He wanted to lock up Joe Biden's political opposition, the Biden regime's positions. Whoever was going after them, they wanted them in prison forever, and that's exactly what they did. And so now we're starting to understand how far they went. And some of these people who are listening here are my friends. People who love this country, people who I personally know who would have never done anything to undermine our country, to overthrow the elections. People who are bold. People who are bold. I'm talking about people like Jeff Clark. Jeff Clark is a patriot. Jeff Clark is an individual who Bill Barr put in positions to run two different divisions over at the DOJ. He is a very intelligent man. He is a patriot. He loves this country. I was just with him the other day, and he's a history buff. He knows everything. He loves this country. Well, what happens when you love this country and you stand up for the American people? They go after you. Jeff Clark had his home raided. Jeff Clark was indicted in Fulton County for a letter that was never sent to Georgia by a very corrupt prosecutor who, thankfully, now her days prosecuting them on a RICO charge has been completely tossed, ended. It's dead. Talk about Fannie Willis. who needs to be under investigation considering the fact that she sat there and allowed her boyfriend to take in taxpayer money to play a special prosecutor role for a job he was never qualified for in the first place. But they wanted their mugshot so bad. Little did they know. Most Americans actually loved the Trump mugshot. They loved the mugshots of all of the other patriots who sat there with pride and kept a smile on their face because they knew damn well they were going to come out as the succeeders in all of this. People like Jeff Clark. You know, they raided Jeff's home and they leaked to the media. And I know because I never get body cam footage this quickly when there's an ongoing investigation, but somehow, some way, the media got its hands on body cam footage, an image of Jeff Clark outside of his home because they raided his home, wouldn't let him put on his pants, and they wanted to embarrass him. So they put up a picture of Jeff in his boxers outside of his home and obviously looking very upset because he probably just woke up. Well, he thought that was going to shake up Jeff Clark. Well, that didn't work. So what else did the regime do? Well, according to their own information, they interviewed over 150 individuals, more than 50 individuals, additional interviews, sorry, within the next 60 days. They served over 400 subpoenas, gathered together 300 witness testimony records. And when it came to search warrants, the search warrants are the big issue here. They were able to search the phones of 10 individuals, 5 lawyers, 1 U.S. congressional member, and 2 White House officials. They gathered over 20, looks like, electronic devices, iClouds, emails, and then President Trump's Twitter account. Again, folks, this is what they were looking to do. This is the type of stuff they were looking to target Americans with. People who worked for the Trump administration under the first term. They were looking for anything to pin them on. Potential charges or even outlines. Obstruction of an official proceeding. False statements. Conspiracy to defraud the United States. Wire fraud. Isn't that something? If you're wondering who they interviewed as well, Mark Meadows, who I'm told was the main focus of this investigation. Jeff Rosen, Bill Barr. The usual suspects. Now let's talk about the financial breakdown of all of this because they went after their finances. And shockingly, Turning Point USA was apparently a target in all of this because they were forced to hand over their financial documents as well. It's not just Turning Point USA, it's other great patriots. Rudy Giuliani, the great mayor of New York City, because he decided to take on President Trump as his client. What happened? Well, they completely ruined his life. And there's even more proof that they were trying to continue doing it. They obtained his financial records as long as Jeff Clark and John Eastman from Bank of America, American Express, Barclays, Citibank, Discover, JP Morgan Chase, PNC, and it looks like USAA, Federal Savings Bank. Yeah, it's pretty egregious, I'd say. What were they looking for? Well, it's lawfare. So they probably want to know how much finances do you have to take on that fight? One of the many angles that we saw under the Biden regime years when it comes to pushing the lawfare battle was to drain everyone financially. I'm still investigating it. I'm still suing the federal government to see how they did it to J6ers. Because during strategic points throughout their criminal trials, whether their criminal trial was about to begin or they were about to start their appeal process, all of a sudden a lot of veterans who were J6 defendants lost their VA benefits. Now, the VA doesn't want to hand over any information. In fact, they don't even want to search for it in my lawsuit. But again, folks, this wasn't accidental. This is our federal government doing the most egregious thing possible, targeting Americans because they don't like what you represent. How dare you challenge the results of an election? You'd be a fool not to challenge the 2020 election. You'd be a fool. And it's not even that you had to witness anything, right? All you had to do was sit back, watch the media's response to everything. Everyone had the same talking points. It was the safest election ever. Turn the other way. Yeah, we had millions and millions of mail-in ballots being shipped out to people. No way of verifying any of it. But it was safe and secure, so shut up and stop talking about it. And if you talk about it, we'll sue you. The lawfare in this country is out of control, but it's only coming from one side because the right's too weak to get involved in any of this, right? Because truthfully, anyone who did what they did to these great patriots should be sitting in an FBI interrogation room right now being grilled for their role in all of this. That's if we are truly looking to make things right. People need to see the consequences of all of this. Now, thankfully, President Trump is talking about this. He's talking about how the federal government did try to target Turning Point, Charlie Kirk. Obviously, there was nothing there because they didn't get anything. But there are other groups. There are other pro-Trump groups on this list. And it's shocking, yes. Save America, RNC, Donald Trump Jr., MAGA. I mean, these are all the, if you just look at this. And the pages just go on and on and on. What were they looking for? Probably just anything to chart them on. The goal was to bankrupt these people. The goal was to destroy their lives. And it's absolutely egregious, but it's not surprising. Senator Josh Hawley weighed in yesterday on the angle regarding Turning Point getting these subpoenas and their financial records being turned over to the federal government. Take a listen.
Why do you think Biden's FBI was really investigating Charlie Kirk?
Try to intimidate him. You know, it's interesting, Jesse, when I heard that today from Chairman Grassley, something came clear to me. Charlie had said to me a couple of years ago now, he'd taken me aside at one point and said, I think that we are being targeted, that TPUSA is being targeted. And he said, you know, can you help us? And I said, anything you need me to do. And he said, well, listen, I'm just finding out about this. This has got to be what he was talking about. And now we know that Joe Biden once again weaponized the FBI to go after his political opponents. It's nothing but terrorism. It's an attempt to silence and intimidate. I'm so glad that Charlie was not intimidated right up to the last day that he had on this earth. That is why he is such a sterling example. But you know what? What Joe Biden did in his administration, we can't ever allow to happen again. You look at the climate they created, Charlie. We're reaping the fruits of that now. The climate of hate and division and suspicion that they deliberately created for years to try to hold on to power. It's despicable, and it's time to turn the page on it.
Sounds good. Sounds like something that needs to be done. Let's turn the page on them. But it's not looking good, folks. It's really not looking good. Are we serious about this? Are we seriously going to begin going after the people that did all of this? It's very likely that Charlie Kirk was being targeted by the federal government. They found nothing. We've seen it time and time again. Under the Obama years, we've seen it under the Biden regime years. And now we're back in power. So what do we do? Well, we do nothing. We do absolutely nothing. So the next time a Democrat is shuffled into the White House, all of us are at risk. It's egregious. It's just more evidence that everything that we've told you about is factually true. But again, what's going on? Nothing. We've been sitting back, waiting to hear whispers about indictments, maybe some grand juries. I think we only heard one. The crimes are very clear. The crimes are very, very clear. And so far, we haven't really heard much. It's been nothing but whispers. And the fact that they have done what they've done, let's just say this, to Rudy Giuliani is absolutely egregious. The mayor of New York City, a patriot, someone who deeply loves this country, what they've done to him, bankrupt him, the level of stress they've caused that man. There needs to be some way of getting even for him, some way to give him back everything. Because here's the thing, right? Lawfare, as awful as it is, when it's implemented on your lawyers, when they go after your lawyers, John Eastman, who they disbarred, Giuliani, obviously, we all know how that worked out for him. They haven't officially yet disbarred Jeff Clark, but they are actively going to do so. It's very clear that the D.C. bar is going to do that. That's their recommendation. So what does it mean when they go after your attorneys for defending their client? You see, Jeff Clark, and I'm going to keep mentioning Jeff, I'm going to keep mentioning Rudy, I'm going to keep mentioning all these people, because their loyalty was to the President of the United States and to the American people. Jeff Clark outlined it for me in an exclusive sit-down that Bill Barr was actively behind the scenes trying to shut down any type of election fraud investigation back in 2020. He detailed it all. When Jeff knew that was going on and that the tips that were coming in, I mean, I've spoken to the FBI agent who told me when there was a tip that came in or tips that were coming in and he asked about investigating it, he was told to pack up his stuff and leave because they didn't like that he put it in writing. So there was an active push to shut down anyone who was looking to investigate election fraud in 2020. And they're just hoping that they scared you off moving forward, that if there's any type of questions regarding an election, that you're too afraid to speak up and speak out. We'll sue you for billions if you do. Put you in prison if you do. And if you're an attorney, we'll disbar you if you do. Don't you dare pick up a client who's looking to fight for their elections. President Trump had a right to question the elections in 2020. To sit here and say that it's somehow subverting democracy is foolish, but it's intentional. Jeff Clark, absolute patriot. He's continuing to fight. He actually works right now in the White House still, but folks, they are gunning for him. He's someone who needs all of our support. Obviously, Mayor Rudy Giuliani is another one who is still fighting the good fight. We look forward to having him on this program soon, but these are individuals we need to support. And I think it's very important that we do so. All right, I want to turn the page to the latest regarding the Kirk shooting. Obviously, as you guys know, it was devastating last week when we saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated while speaking outside of a Utah college. Well, now we're learning a little bit more about the so-called evidence that the prosecutors have. And again, I'm going to report on this down the middle, tell you what we now know, and then I'll share you my beliefs afterwards. But according to Utah prosecutors, Tyler Robinson is the individual who has been charged with Kirk's shooting. They claim that they have a text message confession sent to Robinson's partner. Now, that partner is allegedly a transgender individual. A note written by Robinson stated he had the chance to kill a major conservative figure and would act on it. DNA matching Robinson was found on the rifle trigger used to kill Kirk. Now, the Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray announced the charges yesterday. And as, you know, we all expected, he is facing death. Now, again, there's a lot of text messages that seem to show Discord chats that seem to show this suspect taking responsibility. This is what prosecutors are showing us. The judge in this case has appointed Robinson with an attorney. Robinson's family has not provided comment. The Associated Press did try to confront them and ask about his arrest, but they're not talking. Robinson, according to reports, still isn't talking to law enforcement, but he has a right to not speak to them, so we'll respect that for now. Robinson's partner said that he was the Kirk assassin texted him, the alleged assassin, I should say. I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. Again, they're also claiming that Robinson left a note under a keyboard for his partner stating, I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it. That's according to the prosecutor, Jeff Gray. Now listen, whether you believe those text messages or not, that is up to you. I will let you all decide for yourselves. I will say this though. I will say, and I'll wait till I see the court filings, because any attorney will look for the metadata to make sure these are authentic. So I will wait for that. But I will say the most egregious part in all of this has to be the media and its refusal to pretend like there's no motive, and they're refusing to accept the fact that they are a part of Charlie Kirk's assassination, that their actions, their words were what were engraved on the bullets. They called him hateful, fascist. They called him all these names. And so now people on CNN, and there's plenty of sound bites of this, Caitlin Collins is one of them, says law enforcement hasn't yet laid out a motive. Take a listen.
But Senator, this left-wing activist was somehow Republican. I mean, that really shows the media not doing the job they should be doing.
Okay, Senator, but one moment, because you said a lot there, and we don't have a motive yet. We don't know yet. We're waiting. Obviously, we've heard what the governor's had to say, what the FBI director said today.
Of course we know. Come on, we don't have a motive yet.
We don't have a motive yet. What's
really
happening with...
Really, that's CNN's position?
I mean, from law enforcement,
he just happened,
Senator,
to fire the gun in celebration. You can't tell the motive,
Senator,
here.
That's not what I said. And I said law enforcement hasn't laid out a direct motive. They've laid out a lot of evidence here of these messages and what
actually
the
they have.
Said
they've said
the
that he was a left-wing activist who hated Charlie Kirk. Pardon?
Senator, with all due respect, you know exactly what I'm saying. I'm not arguing with you politically. I'm saying that law enforcement has not put a specific motive. You know that there's a difference of what they're putting in a legal
they
argument
have. That
than what you're talking about. And you're not even,
you
we're not even arguing about the facts
what
here.
What you just
because,
said is false,
Senator,
Caitlin.
No.
Caitlin, facts. Hold on a second. Let me answer your statement because what you said is factually
false. Senator, with
false.
All due respect.
Law enforcement.
With all due respect, you're putting a lot of statements
okay, go ahead,
that
go ahead,
I did not
speed.
Say. And I want to get back to, we just laid out the facts.
You just said law enforcement has not made out a motive.
Today.
That is objectively false.
We just spoke to the
false.
Deputy Attorney General.
That is objectively false.
They
what
have not set a concrete motive of exactly
false,
what it was.
And
they've
CNN
laid out every
should not be engaged in misinformation.
So
Caitlin, answer my question.
It's not
have you seen the polling
Senator,
that shows
you,
the vast majority of Democrats
taking what
believe
I said
this murderer is a Republican
that.
And a Trump supporter? Have you seen that polling?
Let me get back to my questions, though, Senator, because the question here
you're not going to answer that
was
question?
Actually
are you
what
that
you were
question?
Saying
you
about
have
investigations
that,
that
you... She's absolutely unbearable. You don't need the police to tell you what the motive is. When they're laying out the text messages, when they're telling you all of these things related to the suspect, like his tranny roommate slash lover, like when he's showing you the text messages that clearly outline what his motive is, you don't need law enforcement to spell it out for you. Now, I get it. They don't want to accept blame for their role in any of this. Because the reality of it is yes, they played a major, major role in getting Charlie Kirk assassinated. And now they have to deal with it. They're never going to admit their role in any of this. That's the reality. You could sit there, hit them with the facts, keep going after them with it, tell them, give them a list of all the left-wing terrorists that have gone after conservatives. They don't care. These people are full of hate. They're full of rage. But they don't want to accept responsibilities for their own behavior. How they go out there on CNN, MSNBC, and they target conservatives just because they don't like their beliefs. As a result of all of that, well, only one side keeps getting shot at. So are they going to change their rhetoric? Because they love to sit here and ask us to do so. But again, we're not the ones breeding terrorists. They are. Folks, we got a lot going on. Don't go anywhere because Paulo Figueiredo is going to be joining the show today to detail the very latest going on in Brazil and how their former president is about to go to prison for 27 years. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene blue tube. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. The first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimate Methylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it from SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. They're going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the program, folks. I hope this classier music makes you feel a little classy on the inside. Not me, though. Not me. All right, folks, we got a lot to go through today. I'm very excited that you're with us. Last week was a crazy news cycle, and I wanted to make sure that you all at home didn't miss out on this one, because this is a big one. As many of you guys know, we just talked about it, the lawfare against President Trump. They were gunning for President Trump. They wanted him in prison. Now, they weren't able to do that, and we're thankful. But in Brazil, they've actually had a lot of success with going after one of their former presidents. Jair Bolsonaro was just recently sentenced to 27 years in prison. Now, if you're wondering, what are they accusing him of? Well, the corrupt Supreme Court accused him of trying to lead a coup. And the reality of it is they had very little evidence, none at all, and they didn't like the fact that he was what many refer to as the Trump of Brazil. There was many efforts to silence him, and now they are putting him in prison for 27 years. Now, legal experts say the chance of him being able to appeal this is very, very slim. It's very, very unlikely that he's going to have to serve this term. But keep in mind, Bolsonaro is 70 years old. He was just yesterday, according to reports, hospitalized. And he continues to have all these emergencies where he has to go to the hospital. I believe this is the second one since he's been convicted. Joining me now is the incredible independent journalist, Paula Figueroa joins us today. He comes to us, now he's in the United States, but he is Brazilian and he is one of the many who have been targeted by this corrupt Supreme Court and he's with us now. Paula, I want to thank you for being here. Most Americans may have missed what happened last week in regards to the 27-year sentence that was handed down to Bolsonaro. But give us a little bit of background on that because, again, 27 years seems very, very stiff.
Thank you for having me, Brianna. Yeah, it's very stiff and for Brazilian standards, even more. Bolsonaro is getting a sentence longer than drug cartel, kingpins, murderers, rapists, and we haven't heard of a sentence that long for any political leader in Brazil. And obviously, the charges are pretty much a copy and paste of what they tried to do with President Trump. I mean, really a copy and paste. Bolsonaro, President Trump was charged of insurrection connected to January 6th. Brazil also had a riot that went out of control, probably instigated when people stormed the public buildings in the Capitol, but it was on January 8th, 1 year later than what happened in the United States. And instead of accusing him of insurrection, they charged him with attempt of a coup d'etat, which was pretty much the same thing. The difference is that I always say this, the United States and Brazil, we all, and the Western world, we all have the same virus. We just have different immune systems. And in the United States, the rule of law held, barely, but it did. And President Trump had the possibility to appeal, had the possibility of, had almost a fair trial, at least a decent process. And in Brazil, it was completely different because President Bolsonaro was judged by a panel of justices on the Supreme Court. So that's why there's no one to appeal to. And out of this panel, it's a 5-judge panel. 4 of them were appointed by the party that opposed President Bolsonaro. And one of them is Lula da Silva, which is the president of Brazil, from the left. Lula da Silva's, former personal attorney. The other one is Lula da Silva, former minister of justice. And the third one is Alexandre de Moraes, which is, if anyone follows what's gone on the, not only in Brazil, but in the world, knows who he is. He looks like a James Bond villain, the bald guy that Elon Musk got into a huge beef with last year. Is considered the most, it's the face of the censorship, online censorship on the world. And he was the head judge on this case, the rapporteur judge. So it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it is tough. And, you know, President Trump has been following this case for quite some time. He did react to the announcement last week. Let's take a listen to him, and then I'm also going to talk about Marco Rubio next.
In Brazil, Bolsonaro was just found guilty by the Supreme Court. You've been very clear that you would apply sanctions. Are you thinking further sanctions to Brazil because of this Bolsonaro?
Well, I watched that trial. I know him pretty well. Foreign leader. I thought he was a good president of Brazil. And it's very surprising that that could happen. That's very much like they tried to do with me, but they didn't get away with it at all. But I can only say this. I knew him as president of Brazil. He was a good man, and I don't see that happening.
We'll see if President Trump actually carries through with that threat. But I also wanted to play a clip because Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, also brought this up and was discussing this yesterday. So let's take a listen.
response there is that the rule of law is breaking down. You have these activist judge, one in particular, that not only has gone after Bolsonaro, by the way, he has tried to carry out extraterritorial claims against even American citizens or against someone posting online from within the United States, and has actually threatened to go even further in that regard. So there's going to be a U.S. response to that. And that's what, you know, we'll have some announcements in the next week or so about what additional steps we intend to take. But the trial is but one more chapter of a growing sort of judicial oppression campaign that has tried to reach American companies and even people operating out of the United States.
Now, Paulo, they're obviously talking about trying to figure out how do they react to this, how do they try to assist Bolsonaro. Most Americans usually like us staying out of foreign things like this. They wouldn't want us to intervene. But why is it important for the United States to somehow, whether it's some type of retaliation towards the courts for doing this to Bolsonaro, why is it important for the U.S. to intervene on this?
Sure. Secretary Rubio is spot on. He's, first of all, it's not only a problem happening in Brazil, but also a problem happening in Brazil affecting U.S. citizens and U.S. persons, like permanent residents, people here in the United States. For example, my case, you know, I have been living here for 11 years now. I conduct all my journalist activities from the United States, and I'm being targeted by Mirai's as well for conducting journalist business protected by the First Amendment here. I'm being targeted. I'm being charged on the same case as President Bolsonaro. For journalist work, just let me be clear. I'm not only the only case. We have other colleague journalists, including U.S. citizens, that are also being targeted. We had the Newsweek magazine publish an article yesterday about an American housekeeper that is posted something criticizing the electoral system in Brazil, saying that the election was stolen in Brazil in 2022, and Moraes issued an arrest warrant against her, and she has an open arrest warrant. A U.S. citizen that posted something on the internet from the United States is being targeted by Moraes. You have the case of Rumble. Rumble is being targeted by Moraes with extraterritorial orders to censor and give information about people based in the United States. Last year, we had X banned from Brazil for a couple of months until Elon Musk finally capitulated, but banned from Brazil for the exact same reason. You have Locals, another social media platform. You had threats to shut down Meta platforms, Google platforms. They shut down Telegram in the past. So it's not only affecting Brazil, but it's affecting the United States, U.S. citizens as well. The other side of this is that this was pretty much funded by the United States, by the Biden administration. The Biden administration, through the USAID, funded all the disinformation combating programs that spread all this tyranny all over the world, not only in Brazil, but in Europe as well. We're seeing the same problems in Europe, all funded by American taxpayers. So what the Trump administration is trying to do is pretty much undo a little bit of the harm that the Biden administration did. It's not like you can fund a dictatorship in the country, and then when the country becomes a dictatorship, you say, well, now we're going to let it go and let the country fix its own problems, because Brazil cannot fix its own problems now. There's no way to do it. The institutions were completely took over. That being said, the posture, the attitude of the Trump administration towards Brazil is great and changed a lot from the previous administration, and they have been extremely helpful. Brazil has been tariff with 50% tariffs right now. Brazil canceled visa of several individuals and sanctioned Justice Moraes, the James Bond villain guy, the head of all this, the de facto dictator of the country, with a global Magnitsky sanctions, which is a tool designed specifically for that. So, yeah, United States should not invade Brazil, should not send troops to Brazil, should not do anything but exert diplomatic pressure, which is something this country has always done. And that's why you have so many democracies in the world, because the United States spreaded this view that it's expressing the United States Constitution. And that was great for the world, right? That created the community of the Western world that the United States is part of and benefits tremendously. And that's now under siege and under attack by different worldviews, like the Chinese worldview.
Yeah, well, I got to say, Paulo, it's disturbing that this has happened. And I do hope that we have some way of punishing them for what they've done. Because, again, this was going to be President Trump in the United States. And there's a lot of Brazilian citizens here who are living here in the U.S. who do need this stopped, who do need this to be blocked. And this is a great man. I mean, I remember seeing the videos when he was in Orlando, Florida, and the amount of Brazilian people who came out to celebrate him, to say hello, to shake his hand. They loved him. And so it's really, really hard to believe that this man is going to spend 27 years, well, the rest of his life in prison. And we really hope that's not the case. Paul, I want to thank you for joining the program today. And thank you for all of your incredible work that you do. I know you were keeping up the fight and making sure that Americans are aware as to what's going on in Brazil and then helping Brazilians get their message across. So thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, the media is very sympathetic in regard to the Trump assassinate. We'll just say the alleged assassin, because they continue to go out there and tell the American people that it's just really sad. The messages that they're seeing, the text messages, are pulling at their heartstrings. I mean, there was literally a ABC News reporter who went out there, and it sounded like he had more empathy for the actual suspects than the victim. Take a listen.
A portrait of a very human person, a very human experience from this entire family. As you mentioned it, the mother who essentially discovered that it was her son who had done this, the kid who had got a 34 out of 36 on the ACTs, who had a 4.0, who got a full ride to college here, that kid was the one who allegedly perpetrated. She saw those pictures and said, identified him essentially. And then those text messages. And I don't think I've ever experienced a press conference in which we've read text messages that are so fulsome, so robust, so apparently, allegedly self-incriminating, and yet on the other hand, so touching, right? With the suspect reaching out to his roommate, who is allegedly his boyfriend, who we understand, identified as male at birth, now identifies as female, and the terminology he used. He was trying to protect him. He kept calling him my love. My reason for doing this is to protect you, but also asking him to delete the messages and not speak to law enforcement. So there's this heartbreaking duality that we're seeing very tragically playing out.
It kind of sounds like a Disney love story, doesn't it? I mean, probably in 2025. But the reality of it is, folks, is that these people have more empathy for the suspect than the actual victim. Really pulls at your heartstrings, doesn't it? He's talking to his tranny lover, and we should all have empathy for them. I don't know if it's the media trying to make a case against the death penalty because they know that's what this kid is up against now. The state of Utah is likely going to put him to death. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche went on yesterday to talk about the possibility of the death penalty being implemented in this case. Take a listen.
We're looking at everything we can do to bring charges if appropriate. But again, this isn't something we need to rush. This is something where the state has already brought charges. They brought charges that carried the death penalty. And so if at the right time federal charges are appropriate, of course we'll bring them.
Federal charges need to happen because the reality of it is if you get some rogue governor who steps in at one point in Utah, you're in a lot of trouble. We saw the left stack up charges against officers who were involved in the Breonna Taylor shooting. The officer who didn't even shoot Breonna Taylor, he was actually, I mean, the lawfare against him is egregious and most Americans weren't even paying attention to it, but he's actually sentenced to prison time and he's being told that he has to turn himself over potentially soon. Somebody who probably should get a pardon. He is someone who, again, had the local officials go after him and the Biden regime use their DOJ to go after him. They got him on like a civil rights charge because apparently he was shooting but didn't have a clear sight of the target, but he wasn't the one who killed Taylor. Again, they don't want to tell you. They want to remind you that Taylor's boyfriend was the one who shot first at law enforcement. and that, in fact, neighbors heard police outside saying that they were law enforcement and they were looking to get into her home because they had a warrant. They always use that no-knock warrant excuse, but this is what we're up against. And then they're trying to gaslight you. They're trying to pretend like now's the time to call for peace. But Scott Jennings, and I don't know how this man does it, when he gets up on these panels over at CNN and fights. I mean, it's like him versus like five liberals. And although these five liberals, when you put their brain power together, they're still not one functioning adult. He somehow is able to push back, combat, and keep a straight face on without getting emotional. But the reality is Scott Jennings has to sit here and call them out on their nonsense regarding potential peace talks. Take a listen.
When you foment the idea that we have to be at each other's throats politically, I think that's a risky, I think that's a dangerous place to be.
Why did I do it? I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out.
So can I ask you? So
Scott,
just explain what you just read.
That is the message that the shooter, Tyler Robinson, sent to his roommate. That is what he said. He also engraved the word, "Hey, fascist, catch," on the bullet. For 10 years, we have heard nothing from the left but that Donald Trump is a fascist. Republicans are Nazis, authoritarians, destroy the Constitution, bloodbath,
so
dictator for a day. And he wrote it on the bullet.
So can I ask you?
And he's been obviously marinating in some kind of information that radicalized him based on what he heard in the air in this country.
So does the shooter who assassinated Melissa Hortman, who was a stated Trump supporter, whose roommate said...
Are you
he was
trying
a
to equate these
does
two things?
He represent,
I'm sorry.
Can you let me finish my thought, please?
Please.
We're talking about two people in politics who both...
Does that shooter represent the entirety of the MAGA movement? Of course not. I would never argue that. I don't think you would argue that. So why is it acceptable to use this moment to argue that somebody, a sick individual who committed a horrific crime,
how do you know he's
is
sick?
Somehow rep- are you here to argue for his sanity?
I'm here to argue. All I know is what the prosecutor said today. He read very lucid messages from a shooter who was motivated by political hate, who had a plan to get away with it. He did not sound like a deranged person. He sounded like someone who had decided to take it upon himself to rid the world of someone that he hated politically, that he thought that the world would be better off without that. That's different than some deranged lunatic showing up off the street.
His actions were horrific, but to assign the specific hateful, violent, awful actions of somebody on an individual on the right or an individual on the left,
I don't know that
to
you're
the
right
entirety
about what happened
of the political conversation
I
is incredibly dangerous and irresponsible in this moment.
Well, I think it's dangerous and irresponsible for nobody to take responsibility for 10 years of the use of the language fascism, Nazi, authoritarian, so on and so forth. It's on the bullet case.
I have seen nothing but Democrats in the wake of this murder saying that it was awful.
You've seen nothing?
I have seen them
literally
saying,
nothing?
Elected Democrats, I have seen them saying nothing but it was horrific, that they condemn it, that they are sorry for his family, that this is an awful moment in the country. I've seen President Trump do nothing but say it was the Democrats' fault.
Shifting blame. Obviously, folks, the motive is clear as day. We're done calling for peace. Because how many times are you going to take a bullet to the head, to the neck, before you say enough is enough? Enough is enough. I don't know how Scott Jennings says it. I hope the money's good, because being in that room probably smells like mothballs, but it's probably nowhere anyone wants to actually be. And I just don't know how he does it. But let's try to be a little positive. There is an outpour of support for the Kirk family, and there are so many Americans who are going to vigils, going to church, trying to find ways to support them. I found a very interesting post from one of the co-founders over at the Daily Caller announcing that the Kirk family has now received over $5 million in donations in just a few days. Over 44,000 donors have contributed to their family. People like Kid Rock, Jimmy John, and others have made a whopping $100,000 donation to the families, to the family. Again, this is great. This is great. This is what you want to see, Americans coming together after this type of a tragedy. Now, although, folks, we would never want to wish this upon anyone, truly, but some sense of sanity, some sense that Americans understand what's actually happening here, some sense that we've had enough. You can measure it on any metrics. Giving. That's what makes this country so great. Everyone wants to beat down this country. But the reality of it is we are the most giving country. And when we see our fellow American suffering from a tragedy that should have never happened in the first place, we open our arms, hearts, and wallets. And that's what's the big difference between Americans and the rest of the world are. I want to turn to some good news because this one's really good news. Fannie Willis. Oh, Fannie Willis, Fulton County District Attorney. As many of you guys know, she was involved in a little love issue where she decided to appoint her lover as special prosecutor to go after members of President Trump's team and President Trump himself. Well, Fannie Willis, her days are over when it comes to prosecuting President Trump. The Georgia Supreme Court has rejected the Fulton County DA, Fannie Willis's appeal to remain on the election interference case of former President Donald Trump. The Georgia Court of Appeals in December ruled that she was disqualified, given the fact that she was, you know, shuffling taxpayer money over to her boyfriend. I mean, the fact that she thought that was okay. And I broke an exclusive, too, for this one. I got my hands on a pamphlet that her boyfriend, who's a criminal defense attorney, was sending, get this, to the people he was prosecuting. So several of these victims of the lawfare in Fulton County, from Fulton County, were sent brochures promoting Nathan Wade's services. As if that's not egregious in itself, it is. But President Trump reacted to the news yesterday. Take a listen.
It's great. The court just ruled that she is a disaster. She's a disaster with a boyfriend. The boyfriend that she paid $1 billion for his expertise, but he never did it before. Now, she should be prosecuted. She was a, what she did to people, forget about me, what Fannie Willis did to innocent people, patriots that love our country, what she did to them by indicting them and destroying them, she should be put in jail. She's a criminal. Fannie Willis is a criminal.
Hey, listen, if Fannie Willis disagreed with that statement, she probably wouldn't have been paying for things in cash like she said she was. She pretended like that's normal to just have stacks of cash hanging out under your bed. Probably because she knows her day might be coming. And we hope it does. Because that woman destroyed so many lives because she decided to manipulate and weaponize the law against great Americans. She belongs in a prison cell, so does her boyfriend. So much more in the next hour, so do not go anywhere. We've got a lot to dig into next.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, The West Awakens, with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowstonestore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store, apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense of Beam Boost, and get another bottle half off. The point is, we got War Bonds. That's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100. It's mailed to you as a promo code on it for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, it's like being Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time, get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our methylene blue. You are crazy if you don't get our ultimate life force blood detox. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.
We're getting ready to kick off the second hour of American Journal. Thanks for jumping on with me today. A lot going on. I'm glad we were able to get some Brazilian discussions going on because, folks, President Trump, I mean, I'll just say it. I know it's, he dodged a bullet. The reality of it is the fact that Brazil has done what they've done to their former president is everything they wanted to do to President Trump, but they were not successful. And there's a lot of reports and people who believe that our own CIA was heavily involved in the election in Brazil, the runoff in Brazil. And so it's always good to talk to Figueiredo about that because he is the one who understands everything that's going on throughout Brazil. And he's really one of the very few voices that the Brazilian people still have because everyone's afraid of being targeted by this court. Now, for the rest of the show, we got a lot going on, We're going to keep things here in the States. We're going to talk a little bit about, in this hour at least, how the media is trying to shift blame. They don't want you to sit here and say that they're at fault. The violence that's going on throughout our country, although they have been very aggressive at sitting there and calling conservatives, Nazis, fascists, using violent words, encouraging words of violence, I should say. And normally, I'm a free speech absolutist. You all know that. But they tried to put President Trump in prison because they wanted to link his words to what happened on January 6th. You and I both know that they actually went about putting other Americans in prison because they were trying to lay out the groundwork. People like Stuart Rhodes, Enrique Tarrio, all of them had their words used against them. And the results, well, like 18 and 22 years in prison. That was the result of all of that. So now, all of a sudden, since they're the real criminals here, they don't want you talking about it. They're going to keep shifting blame. It's outrageous, but it's not surprising. You and I both know they were going to do this. And again, Charlie Kirk was a free speech absolutist as well. He knew once you stop talking, that's when the violence plays out. Now, sadly, the weak individuals who plotted his assassination and carried through with it were too cowardly to go to the mic and have a discussion. Because the facts aren't on their side. And Charlie Kirk was never disrespectful for those who came to the mic. He just clearly spewed what he knew were the truth. They didn't like that. And so as a result, since Democrats are breeding terrorists, one of their terrorists went out there and got him. Now, this kid who's being accused of killing Charlie Kirk, when you look at his background, when you look at his family's background, you just wonder, like, how the heck did we get to this point? They claim his family's Republican. They claim he just recently made a turn to the left. So how did this happen? It's the rhetoric. It's the social media clips. It's the people who don't go outside and touch grass. The people who have no understanding of what reality is. Because Charlie Kirk didn't hate them. Charlie Kirk didn't hate transgender people. He just simply told you that God made no mistakes and you were in the right body. And that's what they call Nazi. That's fascism for those on the left. It's egregious, but it's not, again, surprising. They don't like the fact that this man represented conservative Christian values. I mean, he encouraged Americans to go out, get married, have kids. The way he described his own children. The one video that I'll always remember and will always pull at my heartstrings of when his daughter ran out to him on the Fox studio set. Screaming daddy, and he just quickly dropped everything that he had just to give her a hug. That's what they took from this great country. A man who loved his kids, his wife, was loyal, put God first, family second, and wanted to carry out his message. That's what they call a Nazi. We're going to dive into the facts that are still coming out. And then we're going to take your calls in the next hour. So do not go anywhere. We've got a lot more to discuss.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
It is so hard, so hard for me to sit back and watch the corporate media does these days because, folks, they're trying to sell you a bunch of BS. And it's interesting to sit back here and watch because, as you guys all know, I've worked in the corporate media for years. I was actually one of the individuals who all my ideas were shot down in the editorial meetings. I was actually pulled back from not being able to write the lower thirds for Fox. I was too, too far right. But nowadays, those who are still left in the corporate media world are some of the dumbest people you've probably ever seen. In fact, you could lay out all the facts to a case, and they'll still sit there and pretend like they have no idea what the motive could possibly be. In fact, if you're someone who's that stupid, you'd probably find yourself employed by CBS. Just like this next man, John Dickerson, who claims there's no known motive regarding the Charlie Kirk assassination.
After Charlie Kirk's murder, the shooter's motive remains elusive. No writings left behind, vague secondhand testimony. That uncertainty and the risk of drawing sweeping conclusions suggests the murder may share similarities with recent violence not driven by an obvious political ideology.
Folks, Ray Charles saw the motive behind the assassination of Charlie Kirk. You'd have to be an absolute moron to sit there and say, with a straight face, which is a hard job, but there's no motive. Huh. You don't know the motive? I mean, he literally spelled it out for you, if those text messages are legit. Engraved it into a multiple bullets. No motive. No motive. You, in order to have longevity within the corporate media world, you can't have a brain of your own. Because once you start thinking for yourself, it's game over. You want no part with any of these fools. Imagine having to call that man your colleague with a straight face. I couldn't do it. I've had enough of these people. I know you have had enough of these people as well. But the reality of it is they don't want to take any responsibility for what they've done over these last few years. They are the reason why we're seeing an uprising in terrorism here in the United States. It's disgraceful, yes. But again, our guy over at CNN, Scott Jennings, has no problem calling it out. Take a listen.
Guys, the evidence here is overwhelming. He said, Charlie Kirk, I can't stand this hate anymore. I'm going to take him out. The testimony from him and the statements of his family, he had become more left wing. He etched the statements that are made by the left about Republicans and conservatives and Charlie Kirk fascists on the bullet casings.
He made a joke about it in his last text.
Well, it doesn't sound like a joke to me because someone's dead and about to be buried. Well, so it doesn't sound like things. A joke to me. So I'm just telling you, there was an effort all weekend long on the left to try to make this guy sound like he was a conservative. That failed. That was passed around all over the weekend. That has now failed. The evidence has now come out. He was motivated by hate. He was motivated by left-wing radicalism. He got mixed up with some trans ideology in his life. We'll learn more about that, I'm sure, when more evidence and testimony comes out. We are looking around the edges of this for something other than what's staring us in the face. Left-wing radicalism got this kid. He went up to a roof and he murdered our friend, and that's what happened.
Let me just say, I don't think that anybody is disputing. I mean, I'm certainly not disputing. It's written there that he had. Montel, I think it's clearly political. You can't take politics out of it.
Some of the dumbest people in the world, and Scott Jennings is battling them out every night. Folks, we're going to open up the phone lines, too, because in about a couple of minutes, we're going to be taking calls from you. So give us a ring right now, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Give me a call. I want to talk to you guys about everything. Thoughts, reaction to what we're seeing, the nonsense they're trying to sell you. We'll get to your calls in just a few moments. But I thought it was really interesting because when we talk about Charlie Kirk now, we're starting to see the fact that those, I mean, we'll just say Pam Bondi is attacking free speech, and she's doing so freely these days. And I think it's really concerning, but she's trying to use Charlie Kirk as the excuse to attack the First Amendment. And Charlie was never that way. In fact, although he had a lot of Jewish donors who are donating to the Turning Point, Tucker Carlson outlined a great, great thing that I want to just, you know, kind of get your attention to, because he's sitting here saying, you know, I told Charlie that I understand that you have a lot of Jewish donors and I'm not going to go after Israel or try to link it to Jeffrey Epstein out of respect for you. And Charlie said, no, do that. But listen to Tucker's words, because I think this is the key point in all of this on how much of a free speech absolutist Charlie Kirk was.
Before that speech that I gave in July, we had a conversation about this backstage, right before I went on. And I was fulminating and getting all red in the face like I often do, to my shame. And I was mad thinking about this and thinking about the effort by the neocons in the United States to draw us in to another forever war with Iran. Not a defense of Iran, of course. It's merely an acknowledgement that we've done this before. This happened in Iraq, which we entered into at the behest of those same foreign policy strategists, and it didn't work. And so I was going on at some length backstage with Charlie, and I said, probably not going to talk about that. I'm not going to torture you. I know your donors hate this when I say that. And also Epstein was in the news, and it was clear to me that, you know, Epstein's probably not like a Mossad agent or something, but Epstein clearly had contact with Israeli intelligence and American intelligence and French intelligence, but the only one you're not allowed to talk about is Israeli intelligence. But it seemed true to me, and I had done some work on that, and I knew a bunch of people pretty close to that story. So I thought that, and I said that to Charlie, and I said, but I'm not going to say that because I don't want to make your donors mad. I know it's going to be like an endless flurry of texts telling you to stop or you're going to lose a bunch of funding. And he looked at me, I'll never forget it, and said, go all the way. Do it. Go all the way. I said, man, a lot of things I can talk about. I don't need to talk about that. And he said, do it. So I did it. By the way, I think that conversation hit a mic on, and so did I. It probably exists somewhere on somebody's server, but that's, I think, a faithful rendition of what he said. And by the way, I'm not trying to blame him for my remarks. You can agree or disagree with those remarks, but I'm saying this only because I was shocked and sickened by the reaction of the ghoulish and really repulsive reaction of the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, to Charlie's death. Basically made it all about him and all about his country. Immediately trying to take the energy, the sadness, the grief that people felt over Charlie's murder and redirect it towards support for whatever project he's involved in.
I mean, that speaks volumes. While we sit here and we listen to Pam Bondi, who's now going out there and trying to use Charlie Kirk's assassination as a validation to attack free speech, it's pretty egregious. But again, folks, she's now clarifying those comments and saying that it's only for threats of violence, but that's not what she said. I mean, I don't even know, as a conservative, as a Republican, how you let the words hate speech roll off your tongue without getting that icky feeling inside. We're going to be taking calls, folks. Make sure you give us a ring right now, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Give us a call, because I got a lot to talk about. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes. I've had enough of the nonsense of the mainstream media. And it's interesting because Tucker knows how these things work, right? Because let's just say, you know, we've all worked for Fox. When there's invested interest, you don't criticize whoever's spending money with your network. And he knows that. Although I do believe he has done his very best before he was tossed from Fox at kind of teetering down the line with that, I would say it is concerning, but he held the line. But ultimately what I'm getting at here is he said, Charlie, like, you don't have to do anything that's going to risk your donors. And Charlie Kirk still wanted him to say what he had to say. That tells you everything you need to know about that man. Folks, I don't know if I've said it enough to you, so we're going to repeat this. Okay, we're celebrating the one-year anniversary of the alexjonesstore.com, and you're going to want to get in on this because there's so many incredible items on sale right now, and it's for this week only. Okay, so if you're a fan of the shirts, the hats, Well, guess what? They're normally $35, but for our one-year anniversary fundraiser sale, you're going to get it for $25. And it gets even better. When you spend $75, we're going to give you a free $11 to spend at the store. And if that's not bad, that's not good enough, let me just keep going. You're also going to get an additional 50% off on your one-time orders of the Ultimate Burn, as well as MK Ultra. So you got to stop what you're doing right now. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Shop around. Great sales going on right now. And keep in mind, you guys are the reason why we're able to stay on air. When you support thealexjonesstore.com, we get to stay on air. You guys are in on this fight. I mean, I've gotten everything. I've got the books. I've got literally everything these days. And that was before even jumping on with the team. So you guys are the reason why we're able to stay in this fight. Alex is appealing to the Supreme Court, hoping that they grab onto his case. And again, the lawfare is very expensive, and he's able to do it with your help. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Let's celebrate the one-year anniversary together. Folks, again, we're going to take calls in just a few minutes. Let's talk about Georgia again, though, because so I know a lot of us, you know, we kind of just thought President Trump got elected and the lawfare was over, but we need to hold people accountable because Fannie Willis was shooting fire. She wanted to make sure that the president, now president, was going to go to prison. There were the meetings at the White House that her boyfriend Nathan Wade was taking up, actually billing taxpayers for. She did that. She wanted to keep up the fight, even though she was sleeping with a guy who she appointed as special prosecutor, who didn't even have the experience to do what he was doing. And they still pretended like it was all legitimate. Like it wasn't a lawfare circus. You know, when we go through, we talk to the people who were indicted with President Trump, it's very, very clear that they tried to pick up as many people as possible, make a RICO case out of it, because they wanted those who were not as well off as President Trump to flip on President Trump. Jenna Ellis, the former traffic court attorney, was blessed when President Trump decided to bring her on board. How did she repay him? Well, she repaid him by crying in front of the courts, giving a BS apology for crimes that were never actually committed. And then, like the fool she is, everything was quickly overturned. It was done, blocked, shut down, whatever you want to say. It didn't happen because she was just looking to sell out the president. That's my opinion. I think anyone else who has two eyes and a brain saw that. It's absolutely egregious that that woman betrayed the president of the United States so quickly, so quickly. You know, it's crazy because there were reports that Jeff Clark was going to flip on the president. And I remember having a conversation with him, and it was literally just no plans to flip on President Trump because they didn't do anything wrong. So what they do with lawfare is they do this. They try to charge as many people as they can. Because if you're not well off, like President Trump is, you can't support the legal fees. Most Americans would never be able to financially support their own legal defense. And so the goal? Well, the goal is simple. The goal is to drain them financially and make sure that they can't put up a fight. Take a plea deal, a bad plea deal. Turn on the president. Say what we want you to say. You know, I did a sit-down interview with Enrique Tarrio, one of the Proud Boy members. And Tarrio, if you want to check out the full interview, I actually did it for Louder with Crowder in a sit-down exclusive, outlined everything, told us that there was a plea agreement that was nudged his way, which would have entailed him to have to turn on President Trump and pretend like President Trump was somehow cooking up a plot to overthrow the U.S. government with the Proud Boys. Now, Tarrio told him to kick rocks. He sentenced to 22 years in prison. But that's why they hit people with so many criminal charges. That's why they stack it against you. There's a reason. There's intent. There's a reason why they do this. It's infuriating. But it's the lawfare that's going on throughout this country. This is the great interview. And I'm a little biased because I obviously was the one conducting it. But we did it with my good friends over at Latter with Crowder. Tario was actually just fresh out of prison. I believe that was like a day or two outside of prison. And the abuse that man had to endure. Oh, let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about another egregious act from our own DOJ. Tario was shackled, and they call it diesel therapy. When they ship you around the country in a bus, you can't use the bathroom. Tario does a great illustration of what it looks like when you're trying to eat a sandwich while peeing in a plastic bottle because your hands are cuffed, your ankles are cuffed. You can't move, but you've been on a bus for hours and hours. I believe he said at one point it was like 18 hours, and then when he thought he was getting off, they told him to get back on because he's going somewhere else. It's what they do to break you mentally. Everyone knows that in prison. And Tario is a victim of what they've done to him because he's the only one who I know has been shuffled around. I believe it was over four dozen times. Sentenced to 22 years in prison. He wasn't even there that day. What'd they get him on? He said some things that they didn't like. And so they tried tossing him in prison. 22 years. He didn't kill anyone. He didn't assault anyone. He said some things that government didn't like. It's egregious, but you know what's even more egregious? Him and some of his other fellow Proud Boy defendants are suing the federal government for obviously violating their constitutional rights, targeting them, the abuse they had to endure. I mean, I know they went through abuse. I know there was a lot of guys who went through abuse. I know Tario got it the worst. But there was a lot of guys. There was somebody that I didn't even speak to him directly, but I was told by inmates that there was an individual, one of their fellow J6ers, who had a gluten allergy, but they were intentionally giving this person gluten. Which, in case you didn't know, is very painful if you are not allowed to consume it. But they kept doing it. They put him in moldy prison jails, the DC gulag. Lord knows whatever kind of long-term health issues they have. So when Tario and his buddies decided to file a $100 million lawsuit against the federal government, you know how the DOJ responded? Well, the DOJ responded by saying that they have immunity. And they could violate your civil rights. They could violate your constitutional rights. And you can't sue them. Now we're waiting to see if the courts actually think that's a legitimate argument. Should the federal government be able to violate your rights and there be no repercussions? I mean, we know what these J6 criminal trials looked like, right? We know that they put fake witnesses on the stand. We know that they put people on the stand who committed perjury. We know the judges prevented critical pieces of evidence either getting to the defendants themselves or getting to the jury. Those judges... Nah, they're not going to be held accountable. We're just going to let it go. We're going to move on. Are you still talking about January 6th? That's old news. Everyone's out of prison. It's not old news. Here to tell you, they would love to send them back. By the way, a little programming note for all of you. We're going to be joined by Congressman Troy Nels tomorrow because he's going to make his way onto the new J6 committee. So we've got a lot of questions to ask him on that front. Because J6 isn't going anywhere. If our federal government did it and got away with it, and all the people who participated in it got away with it, and those judges are still on the bench, and those prosecutors still have their license to practice law, knowing they weaponize the law against the American people, it's going to happen again. And it's going to keep happening. They don't like your words, and they're going to go after you. But the fact that we have a new DOJ, allegedly, and the Attorney General of the United States somehow signed off and said, yes, actually, they shouldn't get $100 million. They shouldn't get a single dollar because the DOJ has immunity. You know how many J6ers, their families called me, reached out to me? They can't make their rent. They can't make their mortgage payment. They had to sell things to stay afloat. Many, many. There are great groups all around the country that we're trying to help out. But the reality of it is the lawfare is just too expensive. I mean, I was looking at people's legal defenses and they were spending way over $200,000 just to defend themselves in front of a very liberal jury that they didn't stand a chance against. And it's crazy Because again, we don't understand why these people haven't been held accountable, but I'm going to ask the congressman that. What do we do to move forward with all of this? He was there that day, and he's a sheriff. I mean, I was in talks with his office when they were going to do all these visits to the D.C. gulag. He saw it. You know, one congressional staffer from another team actually texted me and said that they were physically sick after doing a tour of the D.C. gulag. The mold that they had them paint over before these congressmen and women got there made them nauseous. So why does our attorney general somehow think that there's no dollar amount that should be issued to these people? They were abused intentionally. I'm telling you, if Tario wants $100 million, I say it's fair. He endured it the worst. 22 years in prison for a man who didn't actually do anything that day because he wasn't there. And now they've damaged your reputation. What does it look like trying to get a job? Well, obviously, no one's going to hire you. They don't want the risk. And you know what's even crazier? I was talking to a lot of these J6 families when their spouses were in prison, and they weren't even able to get jobs. They were being blacklisted. That's what happened. And for some reason, we have a DOJ now who's like, you're out of prison. Good luck. Financially, it's devastating. It is absolutely devastating. And the fact that Pam Bondi, I still can't get over the level of just this woman isn't qualified because she doesn't understand President Trump's voters and our priorities is pretty absurd. It's pretty absurd. The president's still happy with what she's done so far. I can't put the list together. She's picked the easiest battle to take on. But when it comes to telling the deep state to off, she's not there. She doesn't have the fight. Folks, we're taking calls in the next segment. I want to hear from you. So give us a ring, 877-789-2539. We've got a lot to discuss, and I see those phones are ringing. So don't go anywhere. We've got a lot to dive into. Plus, we've got two other guests on the other end of that segment as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle. You gave me, it's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. But it's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah, I just used up that bottle. And so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation books. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, ultramethylene blue, theoxygenstore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it from SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexShore.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got in my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
The hour, and then we have two guests lined up right after. I told you guys we've got an exclusive story we're going to break for you today with Sonia Labasco, as well as Mel Kay joining the program. And Cash Patel is still speaking right now, but this time he's in the House Judiciary Committee today. You may have seen it, but yesterday got a little fiery. It got a little fiery. He did slay a couple of these liberal senator hacks who were trying to go after him and attack him. So we will do our best. I'm going to keep an eye on that as well as take your calls. So we might dip to that too as well. So keep that in mind. But let's take some calls right now. I want to go to Bart first because Bart in Georgia has something very, very interesting he would like to discuss. Welcome to the show, Bart.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me on. I want to talk about what you talked about before. The Dems are breeding terrorism. The shooter, obviously inspired by their rhetoric. And shout out to Brandon, just another channel. But anyway, they're guilty of journalistic malpractice on the surface. However, under the Constitution, the press has the right to lie, as Rush Limbaugh used to always talk about. But InfoWars does not. Anyway, Alex Jones has been talking for a long time about a hit list. When you see somebody prominent assassinated, that's the first one, and they're going to make attempts on other people. Like himself, Tucker Carlson. That's why Alex had to move out of his house with his family, and he's moving, so he's not a target right now. But thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks, Bart. No, the threats are real. I mean, I try my very best to alert individuals when there are threats that are sent my way, but also, you know, as an investigative journalist, I'm trying to dig into these things, and I found a couple of them. Laura Loomer is somebody who is heavily being targeted right now. And, you know, I flag it for her. I flag it for the FBI when they do go after her. She doesn't deserve it. But there's many people who don't deserve it. You know, we recalled earlier this year, Nick Fuentes. There was an armed individual who showed up to Nick Fuentes' home. Don't care if you don't like what he has to say. He doesn't deserve to be killed. And that was absolutely egregious too. So yeah, there is an issue here, and it's gonna inspire others to do what we just saw happen to Charlie Kirk. And so I think everyone across the conservative sphere is on high alert and is with their head on a swivel. So, we just pray that nothing happens, and we just hope that everyone has all the resources they need to protect themselves, because it's a very, very difficult, difficult time. Sean in California, I hear you have something you would like to discuss. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brianna, welcome. Long-time caller, so be a change of pace from talking to Harrison, but that's quite well and good. Something with your guest earlier regarding the whole Bolsonaro thing and the idea that, you know, the punishment is the process. Part of something we have going on in the U.S. and relating to what's going on in Brazil, with them trying to go and penalize people on American soil, American citizens, and American firms based in America, is that the globalists want America, at least in the internet and elsewhere, to yield yet a little bit more of our sovereignty to them. So this is not just a process for Bolsonaro supporters or for Brazilians who have become Americans or just patriots across the world for the United States. It's also patriots of other countries that if they come here and they're using assets of our government, such as our corporations, they want us to bend the knee to them, kind of like, you know, they want the United Nations wants to tell us what to do. And so if we are America first, we have to have the backs of a gentleman like the reporter you had on, along with just, you know, being aware of other issues and challenges to the United States self-governing principles.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring up that process is not just a process for one man. We need to support this man and support Bolsonaro and just support anyone who's speaking up for freedom, whether it's Tommy Robinson or other guests you guys have had. And I wanted to kind of track from that into the Charlie Kirk situation, if you'll have me for another 30 seconds or so.
Yeah.
Semi-regular guest on InfoWars, Bishop Larry Gators, last night on his YouTube, he laid out a complete, concise compendium of all the names that are around Charlie Kirk. He dropped names, he dropped sources, articles. If you guys want to find out what was going on with Charlie Kirk, a lot of that money was Zionist or Israel money that was around him. And it's even as bad as to point out that his pastor at Calvary Chapel, Jack Hibbs, was a 33rd degree Freemason, according to Mr. Larry Gator's research. So I would say, folks, go and vet that information. Or Brianna, you probably could reach out from InfoWars and ask him to drop in on the show and just see what type of characters, you know, it's like Charlie took the deal with the devil or was dancing with the devil. Turning point, he had funding. And so he winds up going to these meetings where he's getting chewed out by these, you know, women from the United Kingdom who support Israel and want to tell us what, you know, what America's biggest youth group should be doing in regards to Israel, regarding, you know, Tucker, Candace, and so on. So, you know, a lot of this back and forth has gone on, folks. But if you follow the money, usually you find the people, and that usually also shows you the motive. So, again, it's a process, and if we want to get to the truth of the matter, we got to endure the process as well. Do your research, folks. Research, research. Otherwise, you might I'm not throwing your words back at you, Brianna, but yeah, you might find out that constitutional attorney is a legal oxymoron. So that's something you'll never have as a constitutional attorney. So you got questions, always hit me up.
Yeah, well, you're the best. Thanks for giving us a ring. And yeah, I mean, people like Paulo Figueiredo, I think we didn't even go into details about his personal story, but you mentioned like the importance of standing up for him. I mean, the Supreme Court in Brazil is infuriated with Paulo because he has testified in front of Congress. He has spoken out about these issues, and they won't allow him to go back to his country. In fact, his grandfather, I believe it was his grandfather, was a former president of Brazil as well. And so he is deeply passionate about saving his country, and it's heartbreaking for people like him to not be able to go back. The reality is he now has to stay in the United States, because if he goes back, they will throw him in prison. I mean, they indicted him just for doing journalism. So yeah, those are the kind of people I want to back. I want to help if we can. Obviously, we're not calling for a military intervention there, but there's things that can be done. We are the most powerful nation in the world. And people like Paulo, they contribute a whole lot to our country. He does incredible work. There's a show all the time on Rumble, and he's just doing a great job. So it's the kind of fight you want to dip into. All right, one of my Twitter friends is calling us right now, and I would like to have him on the show. Welcome to the show, Bill. He runs the Laura Loomer fan club. And Bill, we're gonna go to you right now, but I want to welcome you to the program. What do you have on your mind, sir?
Brianna, hello. It's so good to be on the show. I appreciate you taking the call. I saved my notes from your first day on the show, Brianna, and I was on hold. Didn't get through because you were inundated with calls. So I'm going to keep the call really good and short and just to the point. First, I have this phone number in my phone under Alex Jones, right? I'm going to change it when I get off to Brianna Morello.
Oh, Bill.
It's my new phone number. It's for Brianna Morello. And thanks for everything you do for my brothers, Enrique Tarrio and Joe Biggs. That is so cool. I noticed that. I've watched you, so I've been around a while doing this almost actually my whole life. Grew up in politics, 25 years heavy. Almost 10 years over with Laura Loomer. We're going on 8 years official Laura Loomer fan club. Sorry, my mic fell out. And so I'm in Wisconsin. I'm in Paul Ryan's old district, first district. I've walked 50 parades with Paul Ryan. I know everybody. I know what's going on. So watching you come up through this, you are perfect for this position now. It's part of your, because I've seen you've talked about where you did, you know, sports, and then you moved this. Now you're over here. It's perfect for you. This
Thank
is
you,
a
Bill.
Seamless transition. It's perfect. Now, my main point is going to be the first thing that got me, Brianna, I have this hashtag. It's called Take Back the Words. Take Back the Words. It's on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Take back the words. Take back the phrases. Take back the sentences. Take back the paragraphs. Take back the pages. Take back the books. I'm very particular on words, Brianna. Mm-hmm. They have been bastardizing words. This gets us in trouble. And you, hate speech. It's not even a word, anti-Semitic. Not a word. I stop people right at the beginning. I don't let people even get past that, Brianna. So even with – here's the first thing that stopped me with this investigation by the FBI. Words matter. In one of their first press conferences, they said they got the gun, and it's a Mauser 98. A lot of people know about guns. When I see that, oh, that's like an old antique wood 3006, an old scope type of gun at the range. You know, older guys use it in a category. Then they show us a picture. Here's the gun. It's a Remington 700. My son might have that exact same gun, Brianna.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid. They are lying from the get-go. So how can any of us take anything they say past that? And then you look at how this was handled. No crime scene, no crime tape. They took down Charlie's tent, all the evidence within minutes. They take him away in a freaking SUV, no ambulance, the whole thing. Don't even get me started. This whole thing stinks. They might have gotten to the right conclusion.
Yeah.
But in such a muddled fashion that nobody's buying it. And if I was that kid's lawyer, I'm not even a lawyer. I can get him off right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Bill, I think that's what we're going to be diving into. I know Ken Silva and a lot of great independent journalists are kind of digging through all the facts on that, and they want to figure out what actually happened here. And I think that's why, you know, so many of us are, I will deliver whatever, you know, to tell you, hey, this is what prosecutors are saying. But I think everyone's really intelligent on our side of things, and they're great at analyzing and great at kind of figuring out things for themselves. So I'm sure we're going to learn a lot as the days come. Bill, I want to thank you for calling and being so persistent, because I know we had a lot of calls during the last time we did this, but I'm watching right now and it's Jerry Nadler grilling the FBI director, and I believe it's about domestic terrorism, so it might be related to what we just discussed. So let's listen in. If you're on the phones right now, hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We might take your call next. I just want to see what they're saying right now.
Terrorism umbrella are nihilist, violent extremists. And those that label themselves 764, who wish to go online and convince children to maim and mutilate themselves and commit suicide. And we are producing record numbers of arrests under that umbrella organization.
Thank you.
Even stopped an individual in the 764 network who wanted to conspire to kill an adolescent girl. He is now in custody. Transparency remains one of my main priorities at the FBI. And this is what I've done in my 7 months at the helm. We've produced more than 33,000 pages of documents to Congress, to a variety of committees, including, I believe, 7,500 to this committee alone, if memory serves me correct. To put the 33,000 in perspective, My predecessor in 7 years produced 13,000 pages in total to the United States Congress. His predecessor in 4 years produced 3,000 pages in total. I repeat, I have produced 33,000 pages in 7 years to this Congress and will continue to do so. I'm dedicated to restoring the trust in the mission and the integrity of the FBI, and we cannot do so without congressional oversight, and I promise you I will continue to do so. On the Epstein case, the original sin on the Epstein case was how it was handled by Mr. Acosta when he first brought the case in 2006, 7, and 8. The original case had a very limited search warrant, had a very limited search window, had a very limited investigative window. I was not there when those search warrants and that investigation was launched. I would not have done it that way. They were limited to only 3 to 4 years of investigations from 97 to approximately 2001 and 2002 to 2005. Mr. Acosta allowed Mr. Epstein to enter into a plea agreement where he served weekend jails for trafficking minor women. He also was allowed to leave jail to go home on the weekends. Plus, he allowed a non-prosecution agreement to be signed as part of that plea deal, prohibiting future investigations from that prosecution and from that evidence, and prohibiting the collection of further material. That is the original sin. We are working with Congress to produce more than any administration ever has material on Epstein. And I welcome the challenge to tell us that we are not being as transparent as the law allows. We even went to court and asked the judges to lift those prosecutorial agreements and to lift those court order seals, and they denied us 3 times. Congress is welcome to do the same and join the fight. And I'd lastly like to focus on operation that the president led in D.C. Because of this, we are taking this fight in D.C. to every single city across the country. 2,100 arrests in the last month alone. D.C. has seen a 60% decrease in gun crimes, 75% decrease in carjackings, and 53% decrease in homicides in our nation's capital. And rightly so. We're bringing that fight to the streets of America. I want to thank you for your support, and I'm proud to be the director that leads this FBI into a new headquarters building that they've needed for decades, saving the taxpayer $3.5 billion, and also providing our workforce a safe environment. If you don't know the calamity that is the Hoover Building, I invite each and every one of you to walk around. I'll give you a tour myself, and you can see where the cement falls on the heads of our employees that is only to be saved by netting. Just to give you an example. Thank you for support to our mission. And I do want to highlight one thing about D.C. It's because the FBI gathered sources and evidence that we were able to, through our source network, identify the horrific murder of the D.C. intern, Eric Tarpinian. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken to his family, and, you know, we are working to bring them justice. And, Mr. Chairman, in my 16 years, now my 17 years of government service, if anyone has any questions about my service, bring it on.
Yeah. Thank you, Director. We will now proceed under the five-minute rule. The chair recognizes the gentleman from California, Mr. Eisen.
Director, delighted to have you here. You are a breath of fresh air. As you outlined, and I won't repeat it, the accomplishments, you did so with the same resources as your predecessor, roughly. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
And so how much of that has to do with taking people out of the backside of the FBI and moving them into the field, into doing the job for which we primarily pay the FBI?
That's exactly what we needed done. One-third of the FBI's workforce resided in the National Capital Region before I got there. One-third of the crimes do not happen in Washington, D.C.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. So 1,000 personnel of the FBI were deployed across this country on a permanent basis, and every single state in this union is getting a plus-up, not a reduction, a plus-up of 1811s of intel analysts and support staff. And that is why the crime rates are going down in record numbers.
Well, thank you for doing that. And you know, it's perhaps the hardest thing for a bureaucrat to do is to lower the headcount around them that support them. And I appreciate your willingness to do it different than your predecessor. You a lot of what you covered earlier was the find, the discovery, and then the prosecution that is done by the DOJ. But I want to talk a little bit about the prevent side.
On the Charlie assassination?
No. On all of these.
Okay.
For example, and I'll bring it up before the Democrats bring it up, January 6th. January 6th, we now know, because of your find, that in fact there were people involved who were not just observers but participants who, in fact, it's been alleged, and I personally believe, in fact, were part of promoting, perhaps even the one woman who died, encouraging her to walk through a door that led to her death. When you see that kind of activity and you know it was done under predecessors with full knowledge, whether it's January 6th, where embedded people crossed the line, or any other activity, including obviously the Russian hoax that we're now dealing with up in, you know, front and center. My question to you is, what can you or others do to prevent it from occurring again? Not on your watch, but on future watches. How can we know that this won't happen again the moment you leave the FBI?
It's simple. What I'm doing through our leadership cadre is having FBI agents do what they were trained to do, not what they were not trained to do, not put them in situations that both harm them and the public. We're also utilizing our SWORT networks and prioritizing the threat structure to go after the narco traffickers, the counterterrorism people, the counterintelligence threats, and the cyber threats. That's what they were trained to do, and that's what we're letting them do.
One major question I have, after decades of doing this, on each on the our side of it, both the chairman, myself, and others, both at Oversight and here, have seen that the FBI and the Department of Justice hide behind non-statutory practices. Now, you've changed the interpretation of many of those practices. That's why we're getting the discovery that was previously withheld. How do we work together to make sure that we never again have false walls, non-statutory walls that say the Department of Justice has a prohibition about giving, quote, you fill in the blank, that has led to the chairman not seeing anything until you took over?
I'm wedded to aggressive constitutional oversight. Having been a House congressional staffer, I know that is an important part of securing our democracy. And the way we make it an everlasting, enduring process is by showing the American people the results of what we are doing and the important work of this committee and putting it out to them so they can see government waste, fraud, and abuse. And then they can demand from our constituents and our electors that they want this process to continue.
Last major question here. Some things are so sensitive that we both would agree they cannot be made public. Will you commit to this committee, when it is too sensitive to disclose, that you would at least make it available for in-camera review by the chairman and ranking members or others designated?
I have done that, and I will continue to do that.
Well, thank you, Ms. Chairman. This is a breath of fresh air. This is the beginning of what we need. But my questions today for the director are ones in which I believe that we do need to codify by agreement or by statute if necessary the kind of openness and transparency that we're seeing from this administration, the kind of discovery that's allowing us to do our oversight properly. And I would hope that that be the follow-up to this, obviously along with the Attorney General.
All right, let's pull it back a little bit, because obviously not going anywhere with that one. Lack of criticism from Republican congressional members so far, but obviously it's just starting off. But I wanted to address a couple of things, obviously. And if you're on the phone lines, I am sorry. We can't get to you. We will do this again, obviously. We'll take calls again. But thank you for giving us a call. But I wanted to highlight a couple of things I think are really critical before we, you know, started jumping into what was going on in the House hearing with the FBI Director Kash Patel. There was something that he was talking about. He was talking about all of his successes so far as the FBI director. Now, he continues to use I, and I think that's something that we have to call out, because the FBI is taking credit for a lot of things that they actually shouldn't be taking credit for, as my producer heard him previously say, that he was saying that they were the ones who made the arrest of the individual who assassinated Charlie Kirk, that it was the FBI success, again, another I. But the reality of it is this individual turned himself in because his father allegedly saw, according to reports, his son on the screen when they finally released the surveillance footage that we were all waiting for. And so the father was the one who really was the one who turned his kid in. It wasn't the FBI who made the arrest. And I think it's interesting that he's in defense mode right now. He also mentions, when he was asked specifically about how we're going to ensure that the FBI doesn't turn into the weaponized agency that it was under the previous regime. And then he lists, well, FBI agents are doing what they're supposed to be doing now. But he didn't give you a clear answer as to, let's say, Democrats take the White House next time around. How do we ensure the public that the FBI is not going to be weaponized to go after conservatives, after their political opponents? There wasn't really a clear answer there. And it's upsetting because, again, this is the FBI director. This is somebody who needs to somehow, some way, make it very clear that we will not become politicized. He didn't really do that, though. It looks like Jamie Raskin is now talking to Patel. Let's listen in because he's always got something interesting to say. All right. And so we're going to dip into that later on, it looks like. But Cash Patel in defense mode. He's in defense mode. And it makes sense, let's be honest, because he's not doing too well. We'll dip in on that.
To look at his work, his pedophile network. If you want to blame me, that's fine. But now you're blaming the men and women who conducted this
great
search. No, stop
that. I'm not blaming anybody other than you. You're not keeping your word. You said that you would release all of the materials under your direct control.
Has anyone released more information on Epstein than I have? Has anyone?
Much more.
Did Comey, did Ray?
Much more. Much more has come out in the days since the American people and Congress have been demanding it, but it's coming out in dribs and drabs. Why don't you just release the entire file as you promised to do?
I literally just told you there are multiple federal court orders. I'm not going to break the law to satisfy your curiosity. You didn't join us when we filed court to release the court orders. You could have. You have lawyers. You could have shown up. You didn't do that.
That's a tiny fraction of the material we're talking about.
That is not.
It is a tiny fraction.
How do you know that? Have you seen everything?
It's all misdirection.
How do you know
that? Time of the gentleman has expired. The gentleman from California is recognized.
Well, thank you. Mr. Director, just to be clear, how many of the Epstein files were released in the 4 years of the Biden administration?
Zero.
And how many have you released?
I don't have the number, but it's got to be thousands of pages of stuff.
I was going to ask you to
Isn't it funny how Democrats continue to sit there with a straight face and pretend like they are the party of transparency? They are the people who want the Epstein files released, but they didn't ask for it the last 4 years, though. No, they did it. All right, we're breaking an exclusive story for you in just a few moments. Donnie Lovato joining the program and Mel Kay as well the next hour, so you're not going to want to go anywhere.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue, so I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it, and you just gave me your brief testimony, so I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue, so You sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents. And so my biorhythms get all messed up, and so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, I'll be honest though, because you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. We are getting our way into the third hour of the program. We're excited that you guys are all here with us today. A lot going on in the world. Cash Patel obviously speaking right now at the House Judiciary Committee. We expect Democrats to play stupid and pretend like they've been pushing for the Epstein files to be released, and we expect more sound bites to come from that, and we'll keep an eye on it. But we got a lot that we're doing here over at InfoWars. In just a couple of moments, I'm going to be breaking down an exclusive story you won't see anywhere else. And it's in regards of the Navy and their failures to provide proper protection equipment to members of their NCIS team. Now, this team is out there every time there is a disaster in regards to their boats, and they are really the only ones who are going through toxic chemicals, and their lives are at risk. One gentleman who is sadly being diagnosed with a terminal illness is trying his very best to blow the whistle on this. I've just recently obtained his resignation letter, and I also have the Navy reacting to this report. So Sonia LaBosse is going to join me in a couple of moments to walk us through the whistleblowers who are coming forward, and they are begging the United States federal government to protect their members. It is egregious, of course. We talk about it all the time, but they are fighting, and that's exactly what we need. Also in the program, we're going to be talking about the NGO groups, because the NGOs are something that we have to keep tracking. They are the ones who are pushing the left-wing violence that's going on throughout our country, promoting it, paying for it. Mel Kay has been the one tracking everything. She's been doing an incredible job at that. She's going through all the paperwork. She's going through all the filings, and she is following the money. So she's going to join us today as well. So this second hour, we've got a lot going on, but I wanted to remind you all at home right now, we are very excited. That is the one-year anniversary of the AlexJonesStore.com. And for all of you fans of the AlexJonesStore.com, we're going to give you some great, great, great deals that you're not going to find anywhere else. Head on over right now, because all shirts and hats site-wide are $25. This is for 1 week only. This week, so you got to get there now. You could also get, when you spend over $75, $11 to use at the store. There's never been a better time to head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com. And because you guys support us, we're able to keep InfoWars up and running. We're pushing back on the lawfare because you support the team. And so we greatly appreciate what you do. Head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com. Keep us on air. That is the best way to do so. All right, Cash Patel is still speaking. Let's just dip in, because it looks like it's getting a little aggressive, and it's not my favorite congressman who's speaking to the FBI director right now.
6E. And you're talking, and I said that's 6E, and I said there was others, and I'm answering that. There are sealed court order documents. There are protective orders.
They are unsealed as part of discovery given to Ghislaine Maxwell. They are no longer sealed.
That's just not true. We can argue about it all you want.
Okay, well, you agree that there are, so your testimony here is that the reason why you are not releasing all of the videos that you have acknowledged, there are so many, and that the FBI spent thousands of hours of reviewing the photographs, all of the photographs that you have. You're saying that you're not releasing those because there's a court order requiring them to be sealed? Is that your testimony?
Never said that about the videos. On the totality of the videos, of the thousands of images that were seized pursuant to the search warrants executed at the time, the overwhelming majority of that video is pornographic material that was downloaded from the internet and child sexual abuse material. We will never release that.
Well, as you should not release the victims, but if there are videos that relate to others who Epstein trafficked to, such as maybe Prince Andrew or photographs, that you have total control to release.
Yes, and if it exists.
And so why haven't you released it?
Why are you supposing that that is a fact when in fact it is false? Are you saying that
you're saying that none of the videos relate to anything relevant to the Jeffrey Epstein trafficking ring?
Every single video that we have collected pursuant
to the prior. All right, we're going
to
keep diving in and out of this because it's starting to get good. Don't go anywhere. We've got a lot coming up after this quick break.
Long ago, far in the past, lived a man on the open vast. His sword at his side held tight with a fist. Through the rains and through the mist, he carried on only to survive. By the power of mental drive, no man nor beast stood a chance through the battles he would advance. The power to fight again, to live long and true.
program, folks. We've got a lot we're digging into. As many of you guys know, my background is investigative journalism, and I'm constantly talking to whistleblowers. I'm constantly talking to people who want to make this country a better, safer place for the rest of America. And there's a group of brave individuals stepping up within the Navy, trying to blow the whistle on the lack of PPE. Now, the reality of it is we send these brave men and women into one of the most toxic zones, toxic areas, and we're not sending them in with the proper equipment to do their jobs. Now, obviously, this is something that we are very upset about, but we want to make sure that you know what's going on, because we shuffle billions of dollars into our defense budget every year. But when it comes to giving these brave Americans the materials that they need to protect themselves, for the last few years, unfortunately, it hasn't been happening in the Navy, at least it looks like. There's several individuals who are claiming that they've been sick after they were exposed to chemicals upon a boat. They're members of the NCIS. And one of those individuals just recently, I'll say it was actually over a year ago, handed in his resignation letter. And we've obtained this resignation letter because, sadly, Albert Porter is dealing with a terminal illness right now, leukemia. And he wants to save other Americans, other service members who are potentially going to be put at risk. In his resignation letter, he outlines how prideful he is to have served this country. But he's calling out the federal government for failing to give their members, these service members, these agents, the things that they need to protect themselves against harmful chemicals. Now, he cites a horrible situation in which he and his team responded to the USS Richard disaster in San Diego. This was back in July of 2020. Now, the burning on that boat apparently lasted 5 days. Agents were sent aboard, what they're alleging, without proper PPE. Now, what does that mean? Well, according to his resignation letter, he outlines two major issues that he wants to address with his supervisor while he's resigning. In it, he outlines the failure, saying that safety gear was not available for approximately 1 month after the fire. Secondly, the safety equipment used by the U.S. Navy crew members wasn't efficient. And he recalls an incident where he was even inhaling, at one point, material into his lungs. Now, there were several different agencies who were warning Americans in the region, just, you know, be careful, and were kind of outlining what these chemicals could potentially expose them to long term. But, I mean, even their shoes were having it. They were their shoes. He describes having an incident where his shoes were being destroyed by the chemicals that were on that boat. Now, they weren't given proper PPE. Those are his allegations. And it's not something that the Navy, when I spoke with them, was 100% arguing against. They provided me with a statement where they detailed exactly what their goals are, saying our people are the Navy's greatest strength and the foundation of everything we do. Their safety, health, and operational readiness are not just priorities, they are essential to our war-fighting capabilities and mission success. And then they go on to saying that this is an issue they look forward to correcting, making sure that these members, these service members, are receiving the help when it comes to PPE. But my good friend, Ms. Sonia Labosco, says that this is an issue that needs to be corrected right now, because there are still members, service members in the Navy, who are exposing themselves to these harmful chemicals. Joining us today, again today, Sonia Labosco. She is one of the incredible individuals over at the Air Marshal National Council. She's the executive director there, and she's fighting for whistleblowers all across these federal agencies, even the branches, even the Navy. Sonia, I don't know how you do it, girlfriend. You are sitting here, you are fighting human traffickers, you are saving children, and then you're also helping whistleblowers. So thank you for joining the program. I wanted you, because you've spoken to these whistleblowers personally, I want you to outline what's going on and what are their concerns, because they have every reason to be upset when they're being pushed into these situations, exposing themselves, and they're not receiving the proper PPE.
Yeah, Brianna, it's really, you know, we had so much success when we were able to end the Quiet Skies program at DHS. Other federal agencies and other federal agents saw that the work that we did and how we dug in at the Air Marshal National Council to get results, and they've been flocking over to the Air Marshal National Council. NCIS Special Agents is another group that we represent. And one of the most concerning things, we've dealt with some things at NCIS that were concerning. But back in 2020, when the U.S. Bonham caught fire at the San Diego Bay for 5 days, there were air quality reports showing that the toxins coming off the ship were actually floating into the city of San Diego. So the upper management there, based out of San Diego, felt the need. They wanted these NCIS special agents to immediately go on board and start investigating this fire, which made no sense. I mean, the ship was burning. It was going to burn. But they sent them into harm's way with no PPE. The ATF was on scene. They had the proper PPE. The NCIS SA reached out and said, hey, the ATF is here. They have the proper PPE. Can we get some PPE? And they never got any. They were there without the proper respirators. They had no benzine able to look at the benzine in the air or do the air quality studies with all the benzine that was burning. And as you said, their shoes, their actual shoe soles started coming off as they're in the ship with all the chemicals that were used to try to put the fire out. And unfortunately, as you were talking about, a Navy SEAL, A.J. Porter, who came out of retirement now, this SEAL came out of retirement, who was healthy and in good condition, came back to work with NCIS as a special agent, and they sent him into this atmosphere without the proper PPE. And now this Navy SEAL is fighting for his life because the Navy didn't do the right thing.
And that's what's so bad about all of this, right? Because the reality is we send these brave men and women into these situations without the proper PPE, and it's very easily accessible. I mean, we talk about our defense budget. We're pouring billions of dollars into our defense budget, and so it's heartbreaking to see that back in 2020, these men, these women weren't given what they needed to secure their own safety. I want to talk about A.J. Porter because he is a brave person who is stepping up now. But sadly, he's facing something that most Americans, you know, we never want to be in a situation. Because he was doing his job, he is now facing terminal illness. What's his current status right now?
Yeah, Brianna, it's not good. He's fighting this fight basically from his deathbed, if I can say that. He wants to expose what has happened to him. He wants to expose what's happening to the other NCIS special agents. You know, there was just a fire at the USS New Orleans out in Okinawa, Japan, and the NCIS special agents were deployed once again. That was in August of 2025, and they've been deployed without the proper PPE. So AJ understands this is a situation that's not going to get resolved internally. They filed a claim with OSHA. Back in July 2025, OSHA found the Navy did not issue the proper PPE to the NCIS special agents. So OSHA has been made aware of this. The Navy is fully aware of this, yet they're still deploying NCIS special agents to these fires and to these toxic locations without the proper PPE. And this has got to be exposed in the media. You know, we talk about our war fighters. We hear our war fighters a lot. A.J. Porter was a war fighter who survived being a Navy SEAL and deploying to combat, only to come home and be sent into the most deadly situation here in San Diego Bay without the proper PPE. It's really, really unacceptable.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, Sonia, when I spoke with a Navy official about all of this and outlined our concerns, they did provide us with a statement, and I mean, it sounds like they are prepared. Again, this is a different administration, so things are different now. And they were very willing to listen. But it sounds like we will continue to pursue every opportunity to mitigate risk and safeguard the force so that they can execute their missions with confidence and precision. Are you confident, based on the statement we've received from the Navy, that they are going to do everything possible to fix this issue?
I am not, Brianna, because August the 25th, you know, that was just last month. Mm. They knew after the OSHA complaint in July of 25th that they needed to resolve these issues, and they did not. This is not an unknown in the Navy. This is a known. We have filed complaints with the Department of War Inspector General. We filed another complaint with OSHA recently, and we've also filed with the Armed Service Committee, both on the Senate and the House side, because this needs to be exposed. We need to have congressional hearings on this, and I am not confident that this problem of PPE is going to be resolved, because it could have been resolved back in July when OSHA found the Navy did not issue the proper PPE. So this could have been done months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to keep asking these questions, Sonia, because we're not going to allow great people, great patriots who have served our country just be ignored, just pretend like nothing happened. I mean, A.J. Porter is one of the great ones who has come forward, but the reality of it is there's way more individuals who have something to say, who are struggling after this. And so we're going to keep giving them this platform so that we could help others. And I think it's really important that we do just that, and we keep holding the Navy accountable. Sonia Labosco, as always, thank you. Thank you so much for discussing this with us and bringing this to our attention, because this is very, very important.
Thank you, Brianna, and everyone, just say a prayer for AJ and his family.
Yes. Yes, we will. We will, Sonia. And thank you for giving him a voice. Thank you for flagging this for us, because we greatly appreciate it. Sonia Labosco, everyone. All right, folks, as I look over, we see the director of the FBI is still being grilled by Democrats. Let's dip in and take a listen.
The careers that are in place is that they make the decisions on who to send where on priorities and make sure the mission needs are not hurt. And that's what happened here.
It's shocking to me that the FBI would think that erasing Mr. Trump's name from the Epstein files is a high priority when we have crime, we have national security threats, we have terrorism threats, we have murders such as that occurred, unfortunately, with Mr. Kirk. It's shocking to hear that that's your highest priority. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I yield
back.
That's
literally not what I said.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from Wisconsin is recognized.
Director, is President Trump implicated in any wrongdoing related to Jeffrey Epstein?
Based on the entirety of the evidence that we have, absolutely not.
The president is not implicated?
Correct.
Thank you. I want to talk a little bit about China's malign influence here in America. And, you know, we've seen spy balloons traverse the United States. We've seen police stations in communities around America. And sitting in the chair you're in just 2 years ago, there was a sheriff from Cochise County, Arizona, Mark Daniels, that was here, who said that the exponential increase in the amount of fentanyl that is coming into America is directly related to the open borders policies of the previous administration. Do you agree with Sheriff Daniels' characterization?
In large part, yes.
So since you've been director, has there been a reduction with, I mean, we've talked about how the border is largely secure now, right?
The southern border, yes, sir.
The southern border is largely secure. Has there been a concomitant reduction or a reduction in the amount of fentanyl that is coming into America?
There has been a massive reduction to the tune of, we've seized more than 25% year-to-date this year than the prior year, and that's enough fentanyl to kill 120 million Americans.
Does China play a role in this fentanyl that's coming to America?
As I stated in my opening, sir, what they do and the companies in China, mainland China, do is produce the precursors and the cutting agents that they send ship overseas through various countries into the Mexican drug cartels who produce it. So they basically are the cooks in terms of the ingredients.
Tell us, what is the FBI doing to stop China from delivering death to America?
So for the first time in a decade, I actually reached out to my counterpart at the Ministry of Public Security. No one at the FBI had done so. To engage
Ministry of Security, where is that?
In mainland China.
In mainland China, thank you.
To engage in a conversation to say, hey, can we have a certain number of these precursor chemicals listed in China so that they become illegal and illegal to trade? We're also working with our counterparts in places like India and Guatemala, because the transshipment routes of the precursors the Mexican drug cartels have gotten creative, and instead of coming directly to America, are going into these countries. And we've had massive success in India and Guatemala, and in those governments, great partnerships in shutting down the ability to ship the precursors into those countries, which are ultimately destined to America.
So those people that are working with security agencies have been working with you. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
So I want to turn to a couple cases that are at the University of Michigan, where Chinese nationals on behalf of the Chinese government smuggled in illicit biological materials, stuff that can harm our agricultural industry. What actions are you taking as we see repeated stories of Chinese nationals doing this in the United States?
So just that, sir, in the this calendar year alone, as I was mentioning, our counterintelligence operations and cases brought against the Chinese are up by, I think, something like 40%. And specifically, the cases in Michigan show two threat streams, not just against our agricultural industry, which is a threat to national security, but they were also bringing in chemical agents and mushrooms. I'm not the exact expert to that would have ultimately hurt our population. We arrested and charged all of those individuals, and we are aggressively going after them in every single state because they weren't doing it in Michigan alone.
Should research universities across the United States be doing a thorough job of vetting Chinese nationals that are coming to their universities?
They should.
Turning to spying in America, you know, we heard the stories about Senator Dianne Feinstein's driver who was a Chinese spy. We're familiar with Linda Sun, who worked in Governor Hochul's office, Christine Fang in California. What are you doing to find these people who are Chinese spies that are trying to burrow themselves into the politics of America? Because we know it's happening, right?
Yes, it is. And what our counterintelligence unit is doing is aggressively seeking the intelligence into where these individuals are working, then we are utilizing our operational authorities to go in and investigate them either through our human source networks and collecting information through lawful process, online search warrants and data so that we can bring proper arrest charges and publicize to the world what they're doing here. And just because we've caught a few doesn't mean we've caught everybody. We've got a lot more to go.
I get one more quick question in. The FBI arrested a judge in Wisconsin, Hannah Dugan, for interfering with a federal law enforcement operation. Could you tell us a little bit about that? And is a judge above the law here in the United States of America?
Well, no one is, and that case is ongoing. But as you stated, and these allegations said, there was an interference in a federal lawfully executed federal law enforcement priority that was interfered with.
I yield back, Mr. Chair.
The gentleman yields back. The gentleman from Tennessee is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Patel, I believe you had primary importance in starting Operation Viper in Memphis. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And Operation Viper brought in the FBI, DEA, the ATF to help Memphis police in policing the city.
That'll be phase two, sir. Phase one was FBI and local law enforcement in Memphis for the last few months.
Okay. You did a good job, and the police director and the mayor have told me that that has been helpful, the FBI working with the police. And the FBI are trained in law enforcement. They know Miranda rights. They know how to do policing, and they do a good job working with the police. Do you think that the National Guard is necessary to do the work that the FBI is doing now?
Thank you. I do think it's necessary to finish it. What we've done is 500 arrests in Memphis and 110 federal indictments. But what we need to do is we've only secured a piece of where the criminal conduct is incurring in Memphis, and we can't work inside perimeters that are not established and safe, and we don't have the manpower to give us the space to fully go into the areas where the criminal activity remains.
Well, are you suggesting that the National Guard is going to go into the more crime, heavily crime areas?
They're going to establish, like they did in Washington, D.C., perimeters where local law enforcement and the FBI, DEA, ATF, and U.S. Marshals can go into. We can't be going into all these areas knowing that they're extremely volatile and jeopardizing the safety of our agents.
But did the National Guard do anything in Washington to help the FBI stay safe from these dangerous elements?
They established perimeters.
Established perimeters, and the criminals knew about it, so they...
It was a visible force, sir, so they kind of saw it.
Well, what you did, I commend you for what you did, and I think the FBI coming in, we have a crime problem in Memphis. The FBI has helped. DEA will help and the ATF will help. I don't think the National Guard is going to help. And what I've seen, they're not trained in law enforcement, are they?
No, sir.
And so that could be a problem. Who will direct the National Guard in Memphis? Will they have control over your agents?
No, sir, they won't.
Who will have control over your agents? You?
Well, the SAC and then ultimately the chain of command up to Washington, D.C. will control the FBI, but there's a task force that was put together that is going to be led by an interagency. The heads of U.S. Marshals, DEA, and FBI will be working together with DHS collectively on this.
Have you visited Memphis before?
All right, I'm going to pull us out of this for a second.
Yes, sir.
Because I just got breaking news from Ken Paxton's office. That's the Attorney General of Texas. And it looks like the Attorney General is announcing the arrest of Matas Vila in Starr County for illegally harvesting ballots in a scheme from the 2022 general election. Now, this follows a multi-year investigation, Paxton team says, where this individual, they're alleging, targeted Texans that were over the age of 65. Now, he was apparently, there was a grand jury indictment for the illegal influence of this incident and how they were, it looks like, harvesting these ballots. And now he's facing a state charge, which is a felony for this. It's pretty impressive to see Ken Paxton taking on this fight. One of the very few individuals doing just that. This just coming in again. They just made this announcement, so I'm waiting for more details on this indictment. But Ken Paxton sitting back and making sure to fight for election integrity. Remember, they told you there was no election fraud. Well, Ken Paxton keeps finding individuals in the state of Texas who allegedly were committing election fraud, harvesting ballots, trying to block Americans from having their voices heard. And that guy is the one who is going after them. So kudos to Ken Paxton. It's an honor to have him as the AG of the great state of Texas. He is probably going to become the next senator. I think he is at this point. But he's got some big shoes to fill in this AG position because he's one of the very few who was actually pushing back. So we'll keep you updated on Ken Paxton's fight for election integrity. But we've got a big fight, and it's with the NGOs, these left-leaning NGOs who are trying their very best to destroy the greatest country in the world. Mel Kay is joining us in just a couple of moments because she's digging into all of the finances of these NGOs. She's outlined a plan, and she's actually handed it over to a lot of people we are very familiar with, possibly over at the FBI, outlining where they need to start if they were serious about going after these groups and who's funding it. Now, again, these people who are behind the financial backings of these groups are having meetings at the White House with the president. So how serious are we about this? We'll see. Mel Kay joining us in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. A lot to dive into.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban.
Right.
This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim this is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more. The natokinase and the serapeptase, those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
No, 100%, I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowStore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top selling products of all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is, it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. When you look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. Well, this is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We are finally towards the end of our third hour right now, and I know it's been a jam-packed program for you all, so thank you for sticking with us, because there's a lot we have to discuss. And, you know, we keep talking about it. These left-leaning, I mean, left-leaning is putting it nicely, these radical left-leaning groups, these NGOs who are actively trying to destroy our country, who are being funded by our enemies, are continuously doing horrific things, and we have a new administration in the White House who apparently is looking to take on these NGOs. Now, it's very, very interesting because President Trump says that he is going to start instructing individuals and that there are ongoing investigations into a lot of these groups. But then he's also inviting people like Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg to the White House for dinner. And so it's kind of strange when you look at it from that angle. But we just recently heard from the Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, and he says that they are going to start going after these NGOs. Take a listen.
I don't think there's confusion about who we're targeting, Caitlin. We've been very clear about who we're targeting. To the extent that there are organized groups raising money with the intent to organize individuals to commit acts of violence, whether it's against law enforcement, whether it's against individuals, whether it's against people in this administration, whether it's against Democrats, we're going to go after them. That's not been confusing. It's something that everybody has been very consistent on with messaging, which is that we're not going to stand by and let people behind the scenes fund people who are actually terrorists. And that includes people that are throwing rocks at ICE trucks, people who are assaulting officers during supposedly peaceful protests, which are not peaceful at all. That's what we're focused on. And there's no confusion within the Department of Justice that that's our focus.
I mean, this should have been a day one top priority. The fact that we're even talking about going after them now, I mean, it shouldn't have taken Charlie Kirk's murder to get the DOJ to do its job and all of this. There's a very few group of people who have been outlining how to go after these NGOs and what these NGOs are actually doing to this country. And one of those great fighters joins us today. Let's welcome to the program Ms. Mel Kay. She is the author of the book Americans Anonymous, and she is mapping out how the current administration needs to go after these NGO groups, where the money is. She's been following the money, and that's the most important part in all of this. So, Mel, thank you for jumping on with me today. Let's talk about following the money. I keep saying left-leaning groups, but they're like communists, globalists. They're destroying this country actively. How do we go after them? How do we target them? And where has the money that you've been following led you?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me. I'm very excited that you are the new host on this great show. So congratulations on that. Nobody's better. So this is very exciting for our whole country as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. What an honor, Mel, especially coming from you.
Right. So first and foremost, we have been deceived about our history to begin with. And the first thing as why I wrote the recovery program, Americans Anonymous, is because I firmly believe our country and particularly we the people are as sick as our secrets. And this addiction to conflict and chaos is not an accident. It was a long-term plan, long-term game. And when you first look at this, you have to realize all of this spawned from the Rockefeller model that was really started in the 30s. You know, they have been investigating the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Carnegie Institute since basically the 30s when they started this model. But what really took it on to steroids was during the time that we were fighting with the Allies in Europe for World War II, there were a lot of people in Switzerland, neutral Switzerland, that were planning this future. And, you know, George H.W. Bush came on the floor of the United Nations. He announced to the world that we would be having a new world order run by the United Nations. He forgot to put in, we will be having a new financial world order. So if you go back in history, you know, I'm writing a book right now about 1944 to 1954, which is when America really, I mean, the first infiltration and deception was obviously the Federal Reserve, the international bankers being able to infiltrate our nation. But after World War II, while we were supposedly celebrating the win by the Allies, a group, which I call the Global Public-Private Partnership, their international banking cartel, and frankly, a bunch of American lawyers were in Switzerland. That included Alan Dulles, his brother John Foster Dulles, McKittrick, who was running the Bank of International Settlements, and a whole bunch of corporations that had one foot in Germany and one foot in America. And frankly, they started putting together their second iteration of trying to have their one world government towards the United Nations. They passed something called the International Organizations Immunity Act of 1945, which should have been rescinded decades ago. And frankly, this has protected these groups as they have grown throughout the world. The model is the Rockefeller model. They wrote a whole book about it. All you have to do is go look right now at the Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors, and you're going to see the model. They sell the model. They scale the model. And believe me, George Soros, the Clinton Foundation, Omidar, all of his networks, Democracy Alliance, all of them use this same model, and they are all funded by these same globalist billionaires that are also attached to Agenda 2030, the Global Public-Private Partnership, and this idea of stakeholder capitalism, and that nation states should not exist, that really a class of people that they consider themselves, I believe, like a parent company, should be running the world from above our nations. And the whole design has been going on for decades. You can go back to 1993. George Soros published his NATO World Order document about where we are now. Brzezinski 2 years later, same thing. He also wrote a book about it. An expected World War III. Well, what is all this about? It's about consolidating power to the very, very 1% of the world wealthy. And as we're sitting here like, oh, it's the Jews or it's the Muslims or it's the, you know, the corporatists or it's this. The truth of the matter is the people that are running above our nations through this mechanism they put in place for the international financial world order post-World War II, they don't have an allegiance or alliance to any country, to any race, religion, flag, or people. They want full control, and they have the technology, which is Agenda 2030. It's full track and trace surveillance, technocracy in a totalitarian form on a global scale. And the only people that really can stand right now are we, the people of the United States, because of our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And you know I often say, when Donald Trump used to say, they're not after me, they're after you, and I'm in the way, the real truth is, is they're not after America. They're after the world and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the ideals and founding of this nation are in the way. And I believe a lot of these people that go back to before the First World War never accepted that America won the revolution. They just infiltrated through the financial system, and now their tentacles through the UN and all these NGOs are infiltrated in every state, in every county. You can look at the World Economic Forum now elevating Larry Fink, who happens to run every single public pension in America. And he just put out his first document out of the World Economic Forum since he took over, and it's going straight back to ESG scores, track and trace surveillance, tokenization of all nature, you will own nothing and be happy on steroids, while they are paying for both sides of every war and all of this chaos. It's order out of chaos. We've been warned about it for decades, and yet we're pretending that it's new. It's been around for decades. And you have to start it at the top, at the head of the beast. And I would say, you know, first rescind the International Immunities Act of 1945 and start looking into the money. And the money goes all the way to the Bank of International Settlements, the IMF, the World Bank, and particularly the USAID. And my big problem is, why haven't we seen Samantha Power answer to the American people for sending trillions of dollars of taxpayer money through USAID? And then, you know, that's USAID is basically people go from there to Soros back to the USAID. And, you know, we haven't had these people that betrayed the nation in the last 8 years answer to us. I don't want to see any more weaponization hearings. I want to see them explain why they opened our border, why Samantha Power sent trillions of dollars of taxpayer money around the world under the guise of aid, really to control nations and regime change. And frankly, this is all connected to the same model. But in America, there is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which are hanging by a thread. And in America, we the people are the only ones by living that that is the law of this land, as we the people are the government here. But if we're going to sit on the sidelines and keep thinking the government's going to save us, whether it's Trump or somebody else, then you know what? They're going to win. And that's the problem with all these NGOs. And don't forget, they did this in Mao's China, in the Bolshevik Revolution, in Hitler's Germany. They go after the youth. And we have to start talking also about the long game that started in the 30s to attack our children. And none of this is new, and all of it is easily traceable, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's why going after Charlie Kirk was such a focus, because unfortunately they demonized him, they went after him, they referred to him as nasty names all the time, which we believe led to his assassination. And there's a reason for that. He was pulling young voters in, people who normally wouldn't have any type of outreach. I mean, when I left high school, there was nobody there to teach you about politics besides liberals. And so I just thought I was left-leaning when I got out of high school. And little did I know that the bulk of my values were all conservative, and I had no type of anything relatable to Democrats. And that's why Charlie Kirk and so many others need to start. Well, that's why Charlie Kirk's message is so important, but most importantly, why others need to pick it up over at Turning Point and carry on that torch, because the reality of it is he played such a critical role at reaching out to the youth. Mel, there's also something else going on right now and also happening yesterday that I think is really important for us to address. Kash Patel was testifying yesterday in front of the Senate, the Judiciary Committee, and he is right now over in the House. And he seems to be getting a lot of Epstein questions, and that's the main focus of Democrats these days, because they think that they could bring this back to President Trump, and that's their goal. But the reality of it is we've been waiting for years to see anything related to Epstein. And while they occupied the White House, they didn't turn anything over. You know, Kash Patel's still sitting there. He's swinging back, and he's telling them that you guys had 4 years. Why didn't you ask any of these questions then? Why do you think that Democrats continue to push this into President Trump's court, go after Kash Patel on that front? Because, again, it's not what they're making it seem like. But they continue to try to push this back onto the president as if he has something to be guilty on.
Well, frankly, I think that the investigations really at the very top were run by the FBI and the international banks and all of that. There is a huge cover-up, but it's got nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has to do with international finance. It is all connected to what I'm talking about, that we were lied to, deceived, betrayed, looted. We have paid for the entire war on terror, the entire global experiment. By we, I mean the taxpayers of the United States of America. And we have been betrayed by the inside to the tune of trillions upon trillions of dollars. I frankly frankly think our entire debt is because we have been the piggy bank for the military-industrial complex, war, fake war on terror, which all wars are bankers' wars. Smedley Butler called it in after World War I, and it is absolutely true. But the bigger picture here about the Epstein case is really the truth is that $365 million settlement from J.P. Morgan, settlements from HSBC, all these different NGOs. Don't forget, one of the things that apparently made him very wealthy was that he was very good at hiding money for billionaires offshore as well. So what we have to know is that the financial system, the world global financial system that has been running the world above our nation since World War II, is deeply invested in not being dismantled, not being called out. A lot of people should have gone to jail after 2008, and a lot of this goes back to that. And frankly, to think that Obama or Biden or any of them wanted anyone to go anywhere near Jeffrey Epstein is laughable. But the facts are that this is the same thing as Russiagate. There's nothing there for Donald Trump. There is no there there. There is for a lot of other people. But frankly, they have all these suspicious activity reports. And it wasn't just, you know, 10 years. We're talking about 30 years. I came in contact with Epstein in the 90s in New York City. So what I know for sure is that this is about the international banking system being implicated on the highest levels. And that is something that we are fighting. Frankly, right now, I think that's the war that we're fighting on planet Earth, is a war against a post-World War II world order that is essentially financial, that puts together international NGOs and banks that have immunity from that act that should be rescinded, and then in tandem with local, what they call stakeholders or public-private partners. And we have to be really attuned right now to that the World Economic Forum and the Hegelian dialectic was basically they create the problem, they come in with the solution, and then they expect us on our knees after they created order out of chaos to beg them for help. And Larry Fink put out his first thing. I do not understand how he can be running the World Economic Forum and at the same time BlackRock runs all of our public pensions for New York, for California, for Texas, for Florida. This is a huge conflict of interest because what he put out is essentially Agenda 2030 and the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which includes full track and trace surveillance and totalitarian technocracy in control by these same people, basically out of the same model that Brzezinski and Soros talked about in the 90s, which is, you know, top down from Brussels, City of London, and I guess Geneva, running the world through stakeholder capitalism, which is essentially communism on a global scale with technocracy.
Yeah, Mel, I mean, it's pretty infuriating when you follow the money, when you dig down this wormhole, especially when it comes to Epstein. But the cover-up, I think, is the real scandal here, and I think that's where our focus should be shifting towards at this point. And, you know, I'm continuously looking over to see what's going on during Cash Patel's hearing, and every single one of these Democrats is still bringing it up. But
that's because they have talking points. They all voted to not put people in jail up to 24 as adults. I mean, these people are not, first of all, we should not be allowing the Democrat Socialist of America to be a legitimate party that puts up candidates in America. They are no different than the National Socialists, which were the Nazis. And the whole idea that the Nazis lost the war in Germany, I mean, it's many layers. But what we are talking about at this point is the full infiltration. And if people have not seen the Yuri Bezmenov interview with G. Edward Griffin from the 80s, it is still online. And we were already infiltrated by the 80s. So what I'm saying is that our history, our true history, particularly post-World War II and in the build-up to World War II, that has been taught to us in school and in university, is all basically fraudulent. Yeah. And we have been used and we are still being used, and this model can be destroyed, but it has to go to the top. And the top is the International Organizations Immunity Act. Pull that, and it starts to unravel, in my opinion. They have never been able to be investigated because of that act, and they put it in 1945 on purpose at the behest of the Rockefeller and their model for NGOs to be public-private partnerships above our governments. They have been investigated since the 30s for subverting the will of the people by these billionaire foundations that are completely protected. And it's ridiculous, and it's got to stop, and it can only stop if all the free people of this world demand it.
Yeah. And that's something that we're all on board for doing. Mel, thank you for jumping on with me. You've wrote a great book, Americans Anonymous, and I highly recommend our audience take a look at that because, folks, you know, we're not trying to blackpill you. We're trying to get you to get active, to come up with a plan to change this country, and it starts with you. So head on over to Amazon. Give it a look. Mel did a great job and put a lot of time and effort into this, and we greatly appreciate your time, Mel, as always. And we'll have you back on the show next week. Thank you, my friend.
Keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys. Wanted to remind you all at home right now that we have the one-year anniversary sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. We are celebrating the one-year anniversary of the Alex Jones store being open, and so we're going to pass on some savings to you. So head on over right now and take a look around. Only for this week, you guys are going to be able to indulge a little bit and get all hats and shirts site-wide on sale for $25 instead of the usual $35. And when you spend $75 or more, they're going to give you an $11 credit to use at the shop. No code required. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Celebrate with us and indulge in these savings. Now, I'm turning over right now to Cash Patel's hearing because I'm seeing Eric Swalwell questioning Mr. Cash Patel. Let's listen in.
What I've been doing is been busy providing the safest country this country has seen in modern U.S. history in historic speed because the men and women of the FBI are given the resources to reduce the homicide rate, to reduce the drug trafficking rate, to reduce the amount of children that are being trafficked and the number of
people. Sounds like those children being trafficked. I appreciate the director reviewing the files. You said you don't know the number of times Trump's name appears in the files, so it could at least be 1,000 times. Is that right?
The number is a total misleading factor. We have not released anyone's name. We have not released anyone's name in the Epstein files that has not been credible.
Director, could it at least be 1,000 times?
We have released every piece of legally permissible information.
Okay,
you can characterize the numbers however you want it.
I'm claiming my time, Director. It sounds like if you don't know the number, it could at least be 1,000 times.
It's not. It's not.
Is it at least 500 times?
No.
Is it at least 100 times?
No.
Then what's the number?
I don't know the number, but it's not that.
Do you think it might be your job to know the number?
My job is to provide for the safety and security of this country. My job is not to engage in political innuendo so you can go out to the sticks and get your 20-second hit and your fundraising article. Keep going, reclaiming your time, because the people of California are being underserved by your representation.
If the president is not implicated, why not release everything that involves
him? We have released everything, the president and anyone else's side, that is credible and lawfully be able to be released. Your fixation on this matter and baseless accusations that I'm hiding child pedophiles is disgusting. Anyone that says that needs to look at the stats alone and go back to the state of California, who's receiving the biggest surge in FBI resources through my redeployment because the cities of Los Angeles, San Diego, and San Francisco need it.
Director, remembering your oath to tell the truth, did you ever tell Donald Trump his name is in the files?
I have never spoken to President Trump about the Epstein files.
Did you ever tell the Attorney General that Donald Trump's name is in the Epstein files?
The Attorney General and I have had numerous discussions about the entirety of the Epstein files and the reviews conducted by our team.
Did you tell the Attorney General that Donald Trump's name is in the Epstein files?
And we have released where President Trump's name is in the Epstein files.
It's a simple question. Did you tell the Attorney General that the President's name is in the Epstein files?
During many conversations that the Attorney General and I have had on the matter of Epstein, we have reviewed.
The question is simple.
Who
did you tell the Attorney General that Donald Trump's name is in the Epstein files? Yes or no?
Why don't you try spelling it out?
Yes
if you're gonna mock
or no,
me.
Director?
Use the alphabet.
Yes or no?
No, A, B, C,
Director,
E, F.
It sounds like you don't want to tell us. Did you tell the Attorney General that Donald Trump's name was in the Epstein files?
Why don't you try serving your constituency
Director,
by you focusing on reducing violent crime
Trump's
in this
name?
Country and the number of pedophiles
Director,
that are legally harbored
time,
in
Director,
sanctuary cities in
Director,
California? I'll work
time.
With you on that.
Regular
Do you
order,
want to
Mr.
work
Chairman.
With us on that?
Director,
I'm the lawless gentleman from California.
Did you tell the Attorney General that Donald Trump's name is in the Epstein files?
The question has been asked and answered.
You've not answered it, and we will take your evasiveness as a consciousness of guilt. Director,
Eric Swalwell never misses an opportunity to show the world. He's an absolute moron. That is the same congressman accused of sleeping with a Chinese spy, but he loves to talk about the Epstein files. Why? Well, because obviously they've got nothing else. Continuously trying to go after Director Patel. And, you know, it's good to see Patel as the old Patel, as many of us knew, before he became the FBI director. We haven't seen this level of personality from him, and it's what we loved about him. how fiery he was, how he'd go after these Democrats. He'd call them out in their nonsense. So we're starting to see little glimpses of that throughout these hearings. But folks, Eric Swalwell, an absolute moron who has absolutely nothing to offer the people of California besides, you know, maybe a cozy bed if you're a Chinese spy. That man is an absolute fool, and it is absolutely infuriating, and I've had enough of dealing with him. At some point, you know, states like California, they have to send better representation. We need to stop sending representatives to D.C. who are smarter than. It happens in all the time. I'm always talking about South Carolina. South Carolina always disappoints me when they're always sending horrible representation to D.C. Now, folks, we're almost going to wrap up American Journal, but if you think you've seen enough of me today, you haven't. You haven't. And if you're wondering why, well, Alex Jones is obviously up next, and he will be hosting the next 3 hours, and then I've got the fourth hour. So I'll be heading on over there shortly. We've got a jam-packed program for you as well. I'll be joined by two incredible attorneys to dive a little bit more into the Fannie Willis argument, because she still hopes that at some point she could go after President Trump, even though the Supreme Court in Georgia has just shut her down. And I'll also be joined by Joseph McBride, who's going to do a deep dive with me into everything related to Charlie Kirk's assassination. Now, obviously, we're seeing these criminal charges stack up from Utah prosecutors. But can the federal government do more? And that's going to be my question for McBride. McBride has been an incredible defense attorney for a lot of the J6ers who strongly relied on his strength during their persecutions. And so we're excited to have him on. And again, folks, I'll be hosting the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. So a lot happening over here. Now, for tomorrow's show, I told you guys we're going to be joined by Congressman Troy Nehls, who is now officially going to be on the J6 committee. And he's someone who's wanted to get to the bottom of a lot of this. He's someone who wants to get to the lies, the FBI's role in everything, the wrongful treatment that a lot of these J6ers had to endure while they were being held captive in D.C. So we look forward to having him on the program tomorrow. So again, I will be hosting the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. Alex is next.
Oh, here it is. Bovine Colostrum Plus. This is what I was looking for. This is the only thing that works on a monstrous stomach like mine. If it works for me, it will work for you. Order yours at the website below.
Secret shoreline mission to handpick nature's vitamin-packed sea moss before the globalists patent it. He's scooping it up like it's Cyber Monday in the supplement aisle. But suddenly, the 20-foot-tall sea moss mutant erupts from the tide pool like Godzilla. Alex dashes like he just saw a new Fauci vaccine. Will he make it or become the monster's meal? To be continued.